People, great Biafrans, wherever you are on this planet, we are welcoming you to the second segment of Radio Biafra live transmission from Toronto in Canada. I am Nnamdi Kanu, your host and director of Radio Biafra, by the grace of God, a servant of the wonderful people of Biafra. We are here in the home of our dear brother, Uche. I want to remember, he's left me, Ezuma, Uche Ezuma. He was at Government College Omaha here with me. Left before we finish. We also have another Omahan here with us. He'll be telling you who he is. And today we are going to take him to task. He's going to tell us about his experience. A lot of people are saying, oh, we saw the war, we fought, we saw active service. Not many of them are genuine, but today we have somebody who is genuine that saw battle, fought for his country. We honor them, we respect them wherever we go to. We have been to what I was called the first segment of the Enugu picnic, and we are back. We are going to, for the second installment. We've seen a few people there, and the enthusiasm continues to amaze me. The enthusiasm of the people here in Canada, the way they're embracing Biafra and their willingness to work for the restoration of our dear country is a joy to behold. Canada has done us proud, Toronto especially. The spirit here is good. Of course, there are bound to be disagreements. There's always the issue of leadership, who leads. But all in all, they are pulling in one direction, in the same direction, and we commend them for that. We recommend the people here in Toronto to our people worldwide listening this evening via www.radiobiafra.co or peopleofbiafra.org, bilierhumanrights.org or indigenouspeopleofbiafra.org. If this is your first time of listening to Radio Biafra, you are welcome. Radio Biafra comes to you every evening, and whilst we're in the United States, two times every blessed day. We bring you information, news, commentaries, and analysis, 7 p.m. London time, 7 p.m. in Biafraland, or it's 2 p.m. here, isn't it? 2 p.m. here in Toronto. I'm losing the track of time. If I do so, please forgive me. I've been traveling across many time zones for some months now. We are here in the Eastern Standard Time. Is that correct?
Yes.
EST, Eastern Standard Time in Canada, yes, which is now gone past 5 minutes past 7 p.m. in the evening. We are hearing the voice of our dear sister and the hostess. We have a host and we have hostess. Is that correct?
Yes.
Or has feminism taken everything away?
Yeah.
You know, feminism says you can't say it's the same thing. If a man is a host, a woman is also a host. We are saying no to that. They're all equal.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, in the eyes of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But in the family, somebody has to make a decision. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyway, there's the head of the house, and which is our dear brother, Uche Zuma. He's not here with us. He's gone to work. But we are here to make sure that the message of the restoration, the redemption of Biafra continues unabated via what Radio Biafra is doing. We are grateful for the support we are receiving, all the messages of goodwill, everybody who has ensured that Radio Biafra will remain on air, everybody who has contributed, has donated to the acquisition of the transmitter. We are thanking all of you. And as I'll continue to say, as the Oriental Brothers once sang, we are one in this very pursuit of Biafra in truth and honesty. On this day, the 13th day of July, is still 13th here, for some of you it's the 14th, you've gone into the morning, but we are here serving you in truth and honesty. We know that that is scaring a lot of people. Some people want to come and join Radio Biafra, but they are wondering, what are they going to gain out of it? We are saying your gain is your freedom. Because we must remember that when Solomon asked God for a gift, he asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for palaces. He asked for wisdom. With freedom, you get everything else in between. Why sabotage Biafra now when within Biafra itself, when we are free, you can be as rich or as wealthy as you want to be? If you go to Israel, you find out what we're talking about. We're welcoming you wherever you are on this planet. Please, if you can, tell your friends and your family. Also, tell our enemies. Join us on Facebook and do not be ashamed or afraid to add your friends as well. Go to Facebook and type in Radio Biafra London. Ask to join the group. Once you have joined, please continue to add your friends. We also know that earlier today, the meeting of Bilier Human Rights in the UK took place. That meeting took place at Bannister House in Homerton, in front of Homerton Hospital, and we are receiving reports that it went very, very well, which is good. The turnout was very good. Biafra is moving thanks to what we are doing, thanks to what you're doing, because without you, there will be no Radio Biafra. Without you, there will be no Radio Biafra listenership. All glory and thanks goes to everybody, all of you listeners, everybody who has contributed to making this a success that it is today, that makes Radio Biafra synonymous with the genuine pursuit of Biafra. We are not here to make money. We are not here to try to do any other thing other than to get Biafra in truth and honesty. We are not going to retreat, neither are we going to surrender, because it is either we get Biafra or we die trying to get it in the process. Life without Biafra is vacuous, is empty, is meaningless, is futile. We are here to make sure that our country, the place given to our ancestors by God himself, is resurrected to its former glory. Let me go to our sister to say hello to you before we go to bring you the headlines and a very detailed, very incisive, very informative educational series this very evening here in Toronto regarding what happened, what transpired during the war. Because the Yorubas are beginning to write their books. Hausas are writing their books. We are here to counter them. Kaigwa hankewe zioku. Please, my dear sister, go ahead.
Thank you so much, Director Nnamdi Kanu, for all your efforts. Hello, dear friends, listeners. We welcome you guys back again for the second segment. My name is Ogechukwu Ume Ezuma, and we are broadcasting live from Toronto, Ontario. We welcome you, sit back and listen to the rest of our program today. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. We are happy where we are in this home. It's a very wonderful place. If they allow me, I will stay here for as long as I like. I've been waiting for that invitation.
You
can come anytime. It hasn't come yet.
You're welcome to stay as much as you can.
Exactly. Please, my dear brother, somebody I call dead because he's older than me. I'm a woman. He has fought the war. I didn't fight the war. He has fought, and we're hoping we won't have to fight any war. But should it come to that, we will fight even more than they did between 67 and 87. To please your name once again to the world listening to Radio Biafra this evening from Toronto in Canada.
Hello, fellow Biafrans and veterans. My name is Mazebo Nyokoro from Toronto, Canada. Welcome to my second segment of the Radio Biafra this evening. I'll be giving some details of my experiences during the war. In fact, this war started for me 1966, not 67, because instead of 66 for me, when I was at Stella Maris, when they were butchering our people in the north, and they were cutting them, bringing them to Port Harcourt Airport, and our school van was going to Port Harcourt and picking them up and bringing them to our school. My first experience, that's like I was in class one in 1966, and they took our bed from us and dressed them, you know, put them in their school chapel, and that's where the victims of the genocide in Northern Nigeria, they put them in the bed there, and people were coming all over from Port Harcourt, Aba, to look for their loved ones.
Yeah.
And everything was going, but at night, around 11 o'clock, I found that I had no bed to sleep in. So
there was no bed?
No, because I gave up my bed, because I was in class one, the victims or the wounded were sleeping in my bed. So I just went to my corner where my bed was and squatted there and slept like baby, and woke up, you know, the next morning. That's when I started suffering from the war. Then it was around the Christmas time, you know, we closed the school and we were told to go home because, in fact, everything was military, you know, defense, you know, land diving, we marching, and every time we go marching and everything. And when was it? January 1967, I think it was one day in the morning, Atomwire.
Yes.
There was a cargo plane, it just flew from, I don't know where it was going, it just flew up. The train station, the train engine was blowing the horn and everything, so it was like a pandemonium. It says air raid, and we all jumping out of the house and lying on the field. And from there, that day, my dad told me not to go back to school.
Yes.
And he went and chartered a trailer at the Motopaco Moha and sent all of us kids home.
Who did that?
My dad.
Your dad must be a very rich man.
No, it's just
a chartered trailer. He must be
a lorry, you know.
Maybe you're being very modest.
The whole family, you know.
They just left Port Harcourt and then went back home.
We were living at Tomoha, and we weren't living at Port Harcourt. So we went back to Arochukwu, you know. Then at Arochukwu, we stayed there and we started
defense. That story is going to come later. Let us also introduce our brother. Then we'll give them the headlines. And then we want to hear this story from a veteran who actually fought the war. You know, there are some online veterans. You meet them on internet, on Yahoo. They say they are veterans. If you ask them about the war, they can't tell you anything about it. Please, my dear brother, introduce yourself once again to our listening public scattered in every country on the face of this planet, please.
Yes, wonderful listeners. My name is Pius Ike Dike. Thanks for joining us once again. We welcome you to the broadcasting from Toronto. God bless you all as you listen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Once again, I'm Nnamdi Kanu. I'm here at the home of my dear brother, which is Uma, and the wife and the lovely children. We are here in Toronto, in Canada, where there is gas. Is that gas or electricity you cook with?
This is gas.
It's gas. There is gas flowing. Did you buy a gas canister?
No.
You can hear what we are cylinder. Is it cylinder? Did you buy cylinder?
No.
So this gas is coming direct from the gas field into your home. There is running water. I've been having shower after shower. There is electricity. Everything is working. Your neighbors are not shouting there. People are not fighting outside. There's no screaming and shouting. You wouldn't know people are here. It's very calm. It's a civilized society. That is how Biafra. That's how we used to be. Very calm and very quiet people, until Satan came in the shape of the British. When they came, they turned everything upside down. And as Chinua Achebe said, they put knife in what held us together, and everything broke loose. And the center couldn't hold anymore. That is why we find ourselves in various places all over the world as slaves, as glorified slaves. We are slaving and working 25 hours in a 24-hour day, suffering and smiling when our land is being decimated, our land is being torn to bits. Our women, they are prostitutes all over Nigeria. They cannot graduate from university without sleeping with a lecturer. You cannot get a job without bribing your way through. If you're coming back from Lagos, there is checkpoint every 5 miles. You have to pay your way in. When you come back home, there is no electricity. Some people even sleep with their generator on their bed, trying to get some semblance of civilization. That is the mess we are in. When somebody asks you, why do you want Biafra, please tell them that we don't only want to be free, but because we understand that within freedom itself, we are not going to be slaves within Nigeria, by which we mean, how can you stay in a country where you cannot run for the presidency? PDP will not give you nomination. ACN will not give you nomination. AMPP will not give you nomination. Nobody wants you in that country. Why are you still there? We'll go to bring our headlines today, very brief headlines and news recap, and then we go into what other people are trying to tell us about our own history, which is why Radio Biafra is here to rebut and refute every manner of nonsense coming out of the mouth of our enemies. Anything they say, we are here to rebut it. If they speak the truth, we tell them, yes, you're spot on. If they lie against us, we are here to correct it. On this day, the 13th day of July in the year of our Lord 2013, there are headlines that Biafra War Memoirs, how Murtala's error cost the death of 1,500 federal troops in a day. How we killed them, 1,500 of them in a day. They said, how Murtala Mohammed's error. We are here to correct this impression and to tell them it was due to the brilliance of our soldiers, due to the brilliance of our officers, that was why we beat them at Abagana. They are referring to Abagana. Instead of these Yoruba writers to say it's about Abagana, how our fearlessness, how our bravery. You know, it's quite interesting how people respond to Radio Biafra without actually going out and saying they're listening to Radio Biafra. We reported this very Abagana a few weeks ago, how Abagana represented the pinnacle of the battle between two adversaries that were equally matched. Although they had superior weaponry, we defeated them. When we beat them at Abagana, they ran to the Western world. They ran to Britain. Go on, ran to Britain, ran to USA, ran to Russia, ran to Egypt, went to the whole Arab world to seek for help with their conniving, conspiring Yoruba. I don't even know how to describe them, because they never fought or won any major battle in their history. It is the story of Abagana they are trying to tell us in another way. You see how crafty other so-called Nigerians are. Instead of them to mention Abagana in what they are writing, they are saying Biafra War Memoirs, how Murtala's error cost death of 1,500 federal troops in a day. Instead of them to say how Biafra beat them at Abagana. That is why you have Radio Biafra. We are here to correct such nonsense. We have a war veteran here to guide us through his own private experience during this whole debacle called the Biafran War, a war of attrition, a war of genocide, a war intent on eliminating the people of God. The same type of envy, the same type of hatred being visited upon the Jews of Israel is how they saw us in that part of the world. They want to kill us, but they didn't succeed in what they were planning against us. We are also reporting that the Presidential Committee and the military in Nigeria are set to clash over Boko Haram ceasefire. As we reported during the first segment, the Nigerian military are still pursuing and hunting down Boko Haram leaders and killing them. And the Presidential Committee is upset about this very development, or some of them are, or the Hausa ones amongst them are. And we'll look into that very briefly as we go on. We are also reporting, as we did earlier, that Lebanese terrorists, the suspects supplying arms to Boko Haram, have been detained by a court in Abuja. The Federal High Court in Abuja refused bail to them. They bribed their way in, thinking that this is something Obasanjo can come and help them with. Every Lebanese in that country, with a supermarket, with a theme park, doing very well, is there because Obasanjo put them there. These are the people that Obasanjo uses to siphon money, to loot the treasury dry. These are the people that Yoruba people are using to steal money from the proceeds gotten from Biafra land. We are also telling you that good Lord Jonathan himself is saying that Nigeria is going to break up due to ethnic and religious intolerance, as he puts it. We'll be asking Jonathan today, who is intolerating who? Let us try and speak him, rather, a grammar that doesn't exist. Who is intolerant to the other? Is it the Igbo people trading in the north, being intolerant to Hausa people? Is it the Igbos in Sabongeri, those in Adamawa, those in Suleja? Or is it those in Madala, those in Zungeru? Or is it those in Yola? Or is it those in Maiduguri? Who is against who? We are going to ask good Lord Jonathan. When you talk about ethnic and religious intolerance, please call a spade a spade. Talk about the hatred directed towards Igbo people in Nigeria. That is the problem. We have done nothing wrong to anybody. We are not criminals. We have not stolen anything. Omaru Dikko is the greatest criminal that part of the world has ever seen. He is not an Igbo man. The greatest butcher in Nigeria, in fact, the second person after Adolf Hitler in the history of modern in the history of modern world, is Obafemi Awolowo. Hitler killed 6 million, Obafemi Awolowo killed 3.5 million. The other arch murderer is gone. The people that stole your money, the people that misrule Nigeria, the people that bankrupted the entire country are the likes of Babangida, Buhari, Shehu Shagari. None of these people we have mentioned is an Igbo person. So where is your hatred for our people coming from? Nnamdi Azikiwe single-handedly fought for Nigeria to be free. Yet you hate us. You must tell us what we have done to you, why you despise us so much. We also reported earlier that Boko Haram commander was killed in Sokoto, a very top commander, which is why the Hausas and the so-called reconciliation community is now complaining about it. And rather, oh God in heaven, Nigeria, Nigeria. In Lagos State, we are reporting this evening, they are to demolish 500 illegal shanties. Igbo people are about to be deported once again. As we told you last August, is nearly a year now when we told you that Lagos State government deported a 911 Gongoro trucks, packed them there, dumped them at Headbridge on Onitsha. Fashola from Lagos deported Igbo people. A lot of people heard this news on radio, but I thought we were mad. Until Peter Obi came and gave a press release where he said he has arrested all of them. He wants to get to the bottom of it. Till today, those families, some of them don't know the route back to their homes. Some of them don't understand where they come from anymore. Some are still languishing in jail. These are Igbo people. Their homes demolished in Lagos, packed into 911 and taken back to Igboland. These are our headlines.
For being what?
For being homeless in Lagos. Under Fashola's regime, you cannot be homeless. If you're homeless, you're gone. That is what is happening where we come from.
They destroy their shop.
Exactly. They destroy your shop so you can't afford a home. You go and you live, start squatting and living in a shack somewhere. They demolish it and then off you go. That's what they use. You know, they use us as dogs to go and clear mines. We go to swampy areas in Lagos. We build it up to drive us away. Like,
all this thing will be happening, nobody will be talking.
Nobody can say anything. That is why some people don't like Radio Biafra, but we are here to speak the truth. We are also complaining about what is happening in Edo State, where a Catholic bishop has been accused of Igbo agenda, even in Edo State. Can you believe such nonsense? Catholic, oh God, they say sometimes that truth is stranger than fiction, as they will say. And here are the news in detail. Today we are bringing you a gentleman called Brigadier General Godwin Alabi Isama. His explosive interview on his yet-to-be-released book. He wrote a book, they've not released it, but because of what we are reporting and educating our people on our bag and as to what happened, they've rushed to go and give us some extras. That goes to show that everybody, contrary to what they're saying, is listening to Radio Biafra. Even the so-called powers that be in Nigeria listen to Radio Biafra. The book is titled The Tragedy of Victory, on the spot account of the Nigeria-Biafra War in the Atlantic Theater. At least I give him respect because he didn't say the Nigeria Civil War. He gave us our respect by mentioning us as a separate entity, by saying that, by referring to it as Nigeria-Biafra War in the Atlantic Theater. These are extracts of the interview. Somebody was asking him, I don't think you have sufficiently addressed the question as to why the war lasted that long. He said, it lasted that long because Biafrans themselves did not just give up. It was their tactics and strategies that we are wrong, and they believed they were doing well. The amount of ammunition and weapons with which they went to the Midwest could have been used in defending Biafra. He is trying to educate us on military strategy, but we'll tell him that we have military people here and how intelligent we are. He said, in this case, the Biafrans put in a lot of effort, but when they recaptured Ekotepene, or they recaptured the world. He is now saying, despite the fact that the federal troops aided by Britain, United States, the entire Arab world, and Russia took Ekotepene from us, we got it back from them. They took over, we took over back from them two times with nothing. Apart from the bravery of one of the people who are sat to my left here, when you see our veterans, please give them honor that is due to them because they are very brave people. In this case, this man is saying the Biafrans put in a lot of effort, but when they recaptured, this is the account of somebody who's a Biafran. He's acknowledging in his book that we took back Ekotek Benin and we recaptured the water from them. They should have started negotiation from position of strength. He's blaming us for not negotiating when we got Ekotek Benin and the water back. We are not a student of history. I know a bit about history. We will allow those who know more than we do, we are willing to be enlightened on this very case, to call in Radio Biafra this very evening or morning to some of you, to be able to participate in what we're trying to bring to you. And if you're joining us for the very first time, that this is Radio Biafra, we're about to give you the telephone number to call, and that number remains plus one, which is Canada number plus 1-416-627-4323. Am I correct?
Yes.
Plus 1-416-627-4323. Please tell people, we want to know about what your dad told you. Uche, you're going to tell us about what your dad told you. Can you remember any of them now?
I wish I can remember.
Yeah, try to begin to jog your memory, because you'll be coming to you. You'll be telling us in a short while. Everybody, call Radio Biafra. Tell us what your uncle, your dad, your auntie, your sister told you about the war, what your experience was. We must begin to educate our people as to what the truth is, because right now, some people are trying to muddy up. At least they acknowledge that we recaptured. We took back Ekotek Benin despite the presence of the British, despite the help from America, despite Russian MiG aircraft, despite the so-called mastery of the skies by Egyptian pilots, despite all the armies from Niger Republic, despite the people that came in from Cameroon, despite the help of Ahijo, despite the help of OAU, who were standing on the sidelines, despite the help that came from Chad, we took back Ekotek Benin from them, and we took it from them two times. The world fought against us, and we took Ekotek Benin from them. That is the type of bravery we want to recapture. That is the type of bravery we are looking to stir in the hearts and minds of our people, so that we can recognize how special we are as a people. We are also telling you this evening that the Presidential Committee on the Military, they have the people tasked with sharing our money to our killers. You know, it's quite ironic. Awolowo killed us and took our money from our bank and gave us 20 naira each to start life anew. They killed us and they took our money. They killed the Jews and the Jews got everything back, including the State of Israel. The Jews were greater than us by 2.5 million. We lost 3.5 million. They lost 6 million. We are the second most hated people on the face of the earth. Yet our people don't know it. That is why when you go to places, they don't want to acknowledge who you are. They call you a Nigerian. Once you answer to a Nigerian, they strip you of who you are. The aura of who you are as a Biafran is diluted, and you become nothing before their eyes, because if you say you're a Biafran, they will respect you more. They will be afraid of you more. The Presidential Committee on Dialogue and Peaceful Resolution of Security Challenges in the North and the Joint Task Force may clash over the ceasefire declared by the militant Islamic group Boko Haram. This is Punch reporting, not Radio Biafra. The Joint Task Force is saying that they will continue their crackdown on terrorists in the Northeast. The military authorities were said to have expressed ill feelings that they were not informed before the ceasefire agreement was reached. Can you believe that? In a country where the president asked them to go and negotiate for ceasefire, in a country where the president appoints the security chiefs, yet one, the right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing, and now they are squabbling, looking for how to share the loot before them, because the only thing that unites them is money. We are also telling you today that President Goodluck Jonathan yesterday said that the religious and ethnic intolerance, which is the hatred of the northern people against Igbo people, is the reason why Nigeria will break up. If you break this grammar down into simple sentences that people can understand, religious and ethnic intolerance is coming from one group against the other. It's coming from the Hausa, Fulani people and Yoruba people against Igbo people, not the other way around. And that is what is going to break up that useless zoological republic called Nigeria, a name I despise, a name that if I'm sleeping and you mention Nigeria, it feels like a nightmare. I despise the place. I wish I had enough bomb to sink everything in it. Believe you me, I will do it. We are also reporting today that Lagos State Task Force on Environmental and Special Offenses, special offenses committed by Igbo people building lock-up shops. Igbo people trying to survive in Lagos have been demolished. The next thing they will do is that they will then send us home. They will deport us back to Headbridge, Onitsha, which is their favorite dumping ground for our people who are homeless in Lagos. Those of you calling us, you please wait. We'll come back to you in a second. We're starting with our sister. What is your views, your opinion on what we are presenting this evening, please? Go ahead.
It's never going to be very exciting because it's not a good story. Even if it's a good story, it's not what you're supposed to be hearing now. There's a lot of things to touch on, but what I'm going to touch on right now is the one about Boko Haram, the houses. People are not happy because they're killing the people that started the program. They're not happy because what they wanted to be doing, they're not going to be able to finish it up. That's why they're not happy. And this is just the beginning.
Yes.
They're going to flush them out. And as they're flushing them out, that's when we, the Biafrans, is going to show them why we are on earth and why we are trying to make sure that with our moral obligation is for teach the Biafrans, that those that doesn't know anything about it and anything that is happening in Nigeria, to be aware that this is going on. So I think for right now, there's so many things that we've listed that is happening. The president and
commander-in-chief.
Because I'm sorry, their names I can't even remember. Neither can I pronounce it like it should be. So I don't really interest in calling their names. So, but all I'm gonna say is, I'm so happy that this Radio Biafra is giving us the opportunity to know what is going on. I'm so delighted because I'm really, really happy that being part of this, I've learned a lot, and I can't believe that I'm even trying to understand what happened a few past, because I'm not a history person anyway. I'm not a historian or whatever
yes.
it's called.
Yes.
But with this, I'm now interested. And because of that, I'll continue to follow up on this and to make sure that all our Biafrans that are here in Canada, that is not aware of this, that they will be more interested as well. Because
yes.
I've learned a lot and I mm-hmm. have to spread it.
Yes.
And as we go on, I will still touch on the headlines that just we read from you.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you for that. And we must say that you've been taking very excellent care of us, not just me, but everybody who comes to participate in the program. But I won't say so much about how beautiful life is in Canada. Before people will say that they want visa to come
they
here as well.
They want you to send visa for them
yes.
to come.
You know, what is good for you should also be good for other people. You can't be in Canada enjoying and telling them not to come. That is why we need to go back.
If we are back in Nigeria, we enjoy more than we are doing here.
Yes.
Because we have a lot of resources.
Yes.
It's just the management is bad.
It's very poor, isn't it?
Here, we don't have to complain that we don't have water.
Exactly.
Or that we don't have light.
Mm-hmm.
Or that you did something wrong and no one is to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
Here you have to face the justice, whether you are
face the music,
whether you are the son or the daughter of the prime minister, you have to face your justice.
You have to.
But back there you don't. As long as you, if you are one of the V or SSG, secretary to the state government, you have a problem. There's someone to shut you down. And because of that, everybody is just so scared to come out and say what the truth is.
Yes.
If I can comment quickly, it will remain like that as long as you have Nigeria. What you just described now about anybody can do whatever they want as long as they have the name and the money, it will everly remain like that because of the way Nigeria is set up. I remember listening to Odenigbo called from New Jersey.
From New Jersey, yes.
He said when the minister of land in the eastern region under Premier Michael Opara was issuing out land, the man issued land unto himself. Then the minister called him and asked him, "Why did you allocate plots of land? You allocated plots of land to people, including yourself as a minister. How would people see that?" At least when you look at under Eastern region and by extension probably to some other regions in the north, there was some sense of control of corruption.
Yes.
The minute you have this unitary federal system, everything is centralized in Abuja, there everything started collapsing. Everything virtually comes down from the corruption that goes on in Abuja now spreads to other parts of the country. Even places like where you don't have corruption in the past. My dad used to tell me the corruption back in the eastern region was minimal. Everything was done transparently. But now we have the likes of Oji Kalu and Theodore Oji in Abia. We have Peter Obi. We have what's his name?
Rochas.
Rochas.
Peter Obi. Peter Obi taking the money belonging to Anambra.
These are people. As long as Nigeria remains the way, as long as we Biafrans remain in Nigeria, we'll keep having this kind of people, because that is the Nigerian factor. We are getting infected day and day and night. Just like Pentecostal churches from Yoruba land is encroaching in Igbo land. Just like Islam, it's, you know, the Northerners are trying to impose Islam.
Mm-hmm.
This as long as we don't have our destiny in our hands, let me put it like that.
Do we understand the ramifications of that? Do we understand the consequences of not having our own future in our own hands? Do we know the meaning of that? Are we aware of what it means for us not to have our own destiny in our own hands? Please, go ahead.
Fellow Biafrans, what is happening in Nigeria to the Biafra land is appalling, you know. The Hausas are encroaching on us with their Islam, but I know they are not going to succeed.
Who is going to stop them? Is it the people in America?
It's not the people in America. It's a way of life. You know what I call them?
Our way of life won't allow that to happen.
Yes, we call them Hausa. We are not going to Hausa. We don't lie down. We don't prostrate for people.
Yes,
you know. In those days, if you start assaulting somebody, you say, "Is it because you're feeding me? Take your food and leave." You know, we don't tolerate that. They might be doing this. If whatever they're doing now is temporary, because once the Igbo man comes back to his feet, all those religions will be a thing of history.
Yes.
Because, you know, we are not lazy people. You have to know that. And we don't worship people. Yes. You know, in fact, I don't know, for this Northerners or Westerners, it's automatic. They're lying mm-hmm. down. I told him I can never lie down before any human being. Listen, I said that's the most vulnerable position in my culture. You lie down, somebody can chop off your head at an instant. I'm not a goat. It's when you bend down, the people ride on your back. I will never do it. If I won't have to greet you, I shake hand man to man, I shake your hand. If you don't like you, so be it.
Because, do you know that is what the Bible said? You don't bow before anyone. It's in the Bible. Let's take this call. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. Sorry? Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me? No, they can't. Can you hear me? No. Is very bad. The line is poor. That's why I kept cutting. But we had to do the right thing and try to get him back on the line. But it kept cutting. And once again, if you're joining us, that this is Radio Biafra. We're coming to you from Toronto in Canada. I am Nnamdi Kanu, the host and director of Radio Biafra, and we're here in the midst of our people in Toronto, and a place that I'm beginning to like because of the warmth. Not just that myself is receiving, but because of how Biafra is in the minds of our people here, both old and young, male and female, adult and child. People are very receptive to Biafra, but how do we move them to go and try and embrace Biafra even further? We have, as part of our headline, a war memoir that somebody wrote. They are trying to tell us about our own history. And which is rather very, very unfortunate, because when we write all these histories anyway, nobody takes it that seriously, especially our enemies. But we're here to remind them of who we are and to remind them of what we're going to do to accomplish Biafra. If you wish to join our conversation, I'm sure our lines are still working. It's +1 416. We are in Canada. It's not the U.S. number. A lot of people have been calling the U.S. number. No, it's not. is +1 416 627 4323. That is our line. I repeat, +1 416 627 4323. This is an edition dedicated to people in Canada and also in the United States, where it is not midnight yet. The time here now is I think it's about 20 minutes to 8 in the evening, Eastern Standard Time here in Canada. If you've been calling us on the phone, please, you can try and call back, so that goes to show that our lines are still working. What these people are saying, in effect, is this. What they're saying is that the war that happened at Abagana, I know you didn't fight at Abagana.
No.
You didn't fight there, you fought in other theaters. What they're saying is that we should have... when we took back Ekota Ebene and Owerri, we should have gone to negotiate. In your opinion, do you think that was the right thing to do at that point in time?
No, the enemy was in our territory. We have to get them all out before we negotiate. You can't be negotiating with the enemy in your territory. It's part of the strategy. You have to get the enemy out of your territory before you negotiate. If things were okay, it was when we were moving at Owerri. You know, that's when... did they write that one too?
No, these are Yoruba people. They won't write
it. They said that 6 weeks into the war, we almost captured Lagos. And had we captured Lagos, that would have been the end of the war. 6 weeks. People were beaten. People were, you know...
But was there any opposition as we were going? Were we beating? Were we encountering any opposition? Or was it just a walkover as we were going to...
The thing is that we in fact... our boys were going to the west, but it's just like they were driving through, you know. They weren't fortifying their behind, you know. Like, they were roaming and, you know, they weren't encountering much resistance, you know, till they got to Owerri. And Banjo halted and delayed before they, reorganized and started fighting us back.
So why wasn't he removed by another officer and another officer take over to Makoto to march to Lagos? What happened? Why was that insistence that Banjo must lead us into Lagos?
I think it's from that area, you know. From communication, that you have to ask Ojukwu that, you know, because he put Banjo in that axis because he's a native of the land. He knows the language and he can communicate with them. So, and they were thinking that the people will be more receptive to him, you know. So
would it then be wise or sensible to deduce from what Banjo did that Banjo was even afraid of the people that he claimed was fighting with, because this army marching through Yoruba land? Because you know that you can't blame Yorubas for being slightly concerned, because Hausa people took a lot in from them. The Lorin is now an emirate. Benin people beat them in battle and took Lagos from them and named it Eko. So they were afraid that here comes another invading army that wouldn't go back once they have taken Lagos. Could that be part of the problem that, you know, informed their decision or informed Banjo's decision to try and sell out that very front to
the Zambia? I think Banjo was coerced, you know, and don't forget the Yorubas listened to their elders, you know. I think... he was bought over, you know. If Father Ojukwu sent somebody like Chukwumanzawa for that cause, it would have been a success.
You think so?
Yes. That's why I named my son Chukwum.
Yes. Can you remind us of actually where you saw battle, the battalion or the platoon you were with, where you were stationed?
Oh,
and
sorry.
Based
on the question you asked, if you will... that Yorubas were concerned.
Yeah, raise your voice.
Yorubas were concerned about this invading army from Biafra. I don't think Yorubas had any choice at that point in time. It was first come, first serve. You already have the northern troops stationed in Yoruba land. You had Gowon giving orders from Lagos. So they had no choice. It was mere form of cowardice, if you ask me. If Biafra had succeeded, like our war veteran said here, if it was Chukwuman Zogun or any other Biafran had succeeded in leading the Biafran troops to sack Gowon and his northern troops out of Lagos, I think Yorubas would have supported, wouldn't have had any choice.
Yes, they would have deflected.
They would have switched side to Biafran side.
Yes.
It was about, for me personally, based on my own judgment,
yes,
it was about first come, first serve. whoever becomes the most powerful, they will just switch sides.
Yes.
That's why they behave like that.
So that is also, had we gone on to march on, they would have supported us. Is
yes.
that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
They would have had no choice.
Yeah. Because they joined the North, because you don't. When we started retreating back from Ore, nobody joins the retreating troops. You become, you show that was a sign of weakness.
Yes, sign
they
of
joined,
weakness.
They yeah. joined the most, the people they felt could win the war. Remember, they are super opportunists. They don't like to work hard for anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was the easier side, well-armed side. They just joined.
Yes, but what I'm, my difficulty is that why are they finding it so hard to acknowledge or to mention the bravery at of our troops at Abagana, for instance? Why are they saying it was Murtala Mohammed's error that caused the death of 1,500 troops? And why is just like in any theater of war, it is being defined by certain set piece battles. For us, our own epitome is I think about four of them. We know about the Abagana sector. We know what happened at Owerri. Now, Ikotekmene has also been confirmed. And I think there's another place, it's escaped me, where we fought very fiercely against these people and defeated them on many occasions. Why is it that they're finding it? Why can't people write history from an unbiased viewpoint? Why are they finding it difficult to give us the credit that we are due? Why are they finding it difficult to credit us with a piece of military brilliance by the way we defeated a well-equipped, well-organized army? Because even in the America, I think the Battle of the Little Big Horn, if you can remember, of Crazy Horse, the Red Indian against Colonel General Custer, is in the American. It's a folklore in America. Where Red Indian Army defeated General Custer's army. It is called the Battle of the Little Big Horn in America. It is still remembered, told by even white military strategists. They it is not a thing of shame to say that, oh, I was defeated.
Yeah.
Or
and
that my opponent defeated me.
You learn from your mistakes.
So that's what I'm saying. Why are they finding it difficult to give us that very simple credit? Because in America, although that the Native Indians were basically wiped away from the face of the earth, and the Caucasians from Western Europe took over, imposed their value system, and is how America grew to become the most wonderful civilization the mankind has ever known. But yet, they are not running away from recognizing the truth that Crazy Horse fought gallantly at the Battle of the Little Big Horn and defeated General Custer in that very battle. So why are they finding it difficult to accept that? Why do they find it hard to give us credit when credit is due?
It's simply just because they don't want the word Biafra to trump the word Nigeria. Remember, even in the, if they can remember in history, in Nigeria's history, it's not even taught Biafra. The full story of Biafra will never be taught. Everything they say about Biafra, people, they put it in the negative light. If they start telling people how Biafra fought bravely and all that, that would probably psych some egos who already have this self-defeatist mentality that they can do something. So that is the thing.
So that is why
it's a psychological thing.
That is terrible.
In
please say
Biafra, don't forget that we are blockaded everywhere, but in Biafra we never had fuel shortage. Biafra, we were mining our own crude and we were refining them, and Biafra had fuel and so many other things. So in fact it's the stupidity of Nigerian. The little technology we had in Biafra, they could have improved on it, but they destroyed for the hatred of Biafra. That's why Nigeria is suffering today. They can't even refine the crude oil. Look at what is happening at Ebuma and the oil pollution. We were refining oil with the drums, Stupidity.
But who amongst the people of the North do you think would have been in a position to recognize what Biafra was bringing to the table and then to be able to utilize it? I'm not sure they have that type of mindset. When we're discussing about the transmitter, Uche was saying, my dear sister was saying that you can have money, but you also need a particular spirit to bring it out. Is that correct?
Of course.
Having money is not the problem.
It's not you have the heart to bring it out.
Exactly.
You have the heart to eat it just to... Okay, don't eat, but be a philanthropist.
Yes.
Give it out to help others.
For a good cause.
That's the thing. You can have $1 billion and you use it, maybe you like to drink, or maybe you like to party, or maybe that's you what you want to use it.
Don't forget, some people
well,
like
you
to
can use it in
some
a
people
good
like
sauce.
To see the huge amount of money in their bank account. That's what keeps them going.
You know?
Yeah.
They keep to they don't care as long as it keeps
it keeps growing. That
yeah, that's what makes their day.
That shows improvement. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Please, if you can tell us, there was a story I've been promising our people that we need to know, especially the platoon or the brigade you belong to during that war of survival. Here at Radio Biafra, we don't run away from our history. We try to confront it so that we may learn from it. Our people don't like, hearing stories about the war and what happened. But when Yorubas are lying, when Hausa people are publishing books, trying to take away our honor, taking away our glory, we are within our rights to challenge it. Can you tell us where you serve, please? Because a lot of people say, oh, I'm a veteran. Everybody you see above a particular age, they say, oh, I served in the war and I fought for my country. Please, can you tell us? Of course, we know you're telling us the truth, but we want to know the platoon where you served and the area you covered, because you mentioned a particular formation or a particular gun placement that you people went and took over from. But we'll come to that in a second. Let's take this call. This is Radio Biafra. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Good morning, my people.
Yes. Give us your name and where you're calling from, please.
My name is Marshall Cletus Anyama. I'm calling from Malaysia. Yesterday, I called you also.
Yes, you called. Yeah, please go ahead. We are listening. Go ahead.
It's about the Biafra war and genocide committed on Biafras. You know, for a long time now, we've been deliberating and discussing about the genocide from Goron and Oyelowo.
Yes.
We were aware we recently be brought to book over the atrocities committed on Biafras. We've been deliberating over this for a long time. Who will bring them to book?
We are the people tasked with bringing them to book, and I will tell you the reason why we have not brought them to book. We discussed this thing with a few people who are highly learned, our elders. That is why you need elders, because some of us were impatient. Oh, please, why don't you try Gowon and Awolowo, even posthumously? What they said is, you know, in our folklore, we have answer to everything. He said to us that Mwataneerugeeru chowin heburunna. We don't have Biafra as a state. Any day we have Biafra as an independent country, that will give us the impetus to go and fight and find these people and prosecute them. So, but what the argument again that some people are presenting is that the family of Cancer, we were took shell to cough and succeeded. So the people of Ogoni or whoever took Odi people, as I don't know if you recall, took Nigeria to court and succeeded. So before Gowon dies, it is important that we take Gowon to court.
Yeah,
that's what we need to do. We have to take Gowon to court. But we can only do it, those of us at Radio Biafra, those of us that believe in Biafra, we can't even buy a transmitter, talk less of paying international lawyers to take Gowon to court. We have to put the case together. We need to file the case. If we're going to file the case in England, we need to go and get a QC, a Queen's Counsel. These guys, they cost a fortune. They cost nearly £500 per hour to work on a particular case. If we instruct a man Mezu and say, leave everything you're doing, not everybody can be like some of us at Radio Biafra, that you can abandon everything and go and do this thing for free. What is stopping us from doing this work is the finance to do it.
Excuse me. Can't we do away with that sort of queen? I hate that woman.
You can't do away with her because she is the one controlling your life right now in the Zoological Republic.
She's the genesis of our problem.
No, she's not. The genesis of our problem is a man called Harold Wilson. And of course, it was Harold Wilson's policy. We must get this thing historically correct. The people against the coming out of Biafra was Harold Wilson, the Labour Party, the Labour government in England, not the Conservative Party. But of course, anecdotally, there are some evidence that the entire British establishment is against us because of our position as the children of God. Because anywhere they go to, they hate people that God have chosen. The same thing they are doing to us now, they did to Israel. But the Israelis bombed them out of Palestine. They bombed them, they scampered away from there.
There was no time for all these let's negotiate, let's beg them, let's split them, let's give them more palm oil and more palm cannon. That's no nonsense. They bombed them out of Israel. The Aaron and the Haganah killed them until they left Palestine. We are not advocating that anywhere. But what we're saying is that sometimes talking and peace alone doesn't do much for you. But what is stopping us from prosecuting them is the lack of funding. That is all. We don't have the money to take Gowon to court. It's as simple as that. And there is no willpower on our side to do so.
It's okay.
Thank you very much for calling. Thank you for calling. Sometimes people wonder and say, why are we not taking these people to court? Amamu Taige Siluog, you kill 3.5 million of us. And nobody, I can't get my head around it. I can't. How people sleep at night, I don't know. That is why I only sleep for about 2 or 3 hours every night. I can't sleep every night for the simple reason that how can you call yourself a human being or a fellow human being is treating you like an animal and you go to sleep and you're happy and you're attending party and you even have time to go and iron your clothes. You have time to dress very well and go out. It's very, very, for me, it's very, very difficult. I can't understand it. Thank you very much for calling, my dear brother. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you very much. This is Radio Biafra. If you're joining us for the very first time, that this is the home of free speech. We are Biafrans here in Toronto, in Canada, broadcasting to the whole world from the home of our dear brother, Uche Ezuma and the wife and the children. It's a very lovely home. We have our brother here, Obonnaya, and also please remind me of that, your name again, please.
Pius IKDK.
IKDK, yes. IKDK, who incidentally helped Radio Biafra in making our communication a lot better, who got us one of the equipments we are using to broadcast to you. And we are very grateful to all of them, to all the people who have devoted time and effort towards the restoration of Biafra in truth and honesty. The news headlines we're bringing is that they are talking about Abagana, but they're not calling it Abagana. And why is that the case? We want to know. This is Radio Biafra. Please, your name and where you're calling from.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Nelson Christopher Eaton. I'm from Akwa Ibom State, and I'm directly calling from Georgia, Tbilisi.
Tbilisi in Georgia. You are from Akwa Ibom State and you believe in Biafra, is that correct?
Yes, of course.
So, because when we tell people that are people from Akwa Ibom that believe in Biafra, they don't believe us. It's only a shame that people in London are sleeping and those in Biafra are sleeping by this time. You would have been an example to all of them that there are people from your area who still believes in Biafra, because Ikotepene fell and we took Ikotepene back from Nigeria. If without the help of the local people, we couldn't have done that. Please go ahead.
Yes, I want to commend you for your effort. And I've been following your program right from the time the first time or my friend introduced me to the Radio Biafra. And I want to tell you that I want to keep on encouraging you that, yes, no matter how it will take, no matter how long it's going to take, one day Biafra must come to stand. Because I don't see any reason why the Northerners think they can keep on enslaving the Southerners. And I want to remind you that the Southerners are the Israelites of Nigeria. And I think what you are doing is portraying you to become the Nelson Mandela of Nigeria.
Yes.
No matter how long it's going to take, I know that Biafra must come to stand. And that is why I keep telling my friends that the best thing for Mr. President to do is to split Nigeria at this point. I don't see why these things are happening. All over the world, I keep realizing that most Nigerians that are being imprisoned are people from the south. And yet, I keep traveling from one country to the other as I'm a human rights activist. I realize that even these people that are in prison are mainly people from the south. They are the Biafrans. Here, when people ask me, where are you from? I tell somebody that I am a Biafran. I don't tell somebody that I am a Nigerian, because there is no country, there is no entity in existence called Nigeria. There is only a piece of corrupt entity called Nigeria. And I want you all to know that I am going to make sure that I gather all the Nigerians here, and even if it is meant for me to organize a massive rally for everybody to know that yes, Biafra, without the people of Biafra are not sleeping. And I want you to know that even the Biafrans here in Georgia are not sleeping. Most times I try to call you in order to make contributions to your program, but the line is always breaking.
It's always breaking, but you've gotten through today, and we're very grateful. Which part of Akwa Ibom are you from? Is it Akwa Ibom or Kwashiba?
I am from Akwa Ibom. I am from Obong Itam in Itu local government area.
So if you want to say thank you, Toronto, for taking my call, how would you, do you know how to speak Ibibio?
Of course I do.
Can you speak Ibibio to us and translate it for us? I want you to address Ibibio people who are listening. The wife of our dear friend, the Emmanuel in London, is from Eket. So we want you to address her and people like her and tell them why they have to come and join Biafra. You can say it in Efik language, please. Go ahead.
That is why I'm in near this channel for me. I'm in Katentargo. The talk where make me sick going is all quite on state. Ekabio Makareka or Mekaomi. Like in Georgia, like when you go to Umboka ITM, Kotaisa and other places, I've looked at the talk web. Inta quite make me see work out, Usri Tier Yorka and a quite on state. Inta Nibo offender. Kinedo Nimini, everything. Akwena Ante, Nini succeed here. Why are we suffering? That is why Mboya are afraid of Nyan. Idiana thought it. Ibob Iranian. Ibob Akwa Ibom State. Ibob Nigeria. He encouraged Biafra. Because who carried the history of Nigeria? And for Yadi Odake, when the Akwa Ibomites settled in Aruchukwu, and the Aruibos forced us, according to history, to worship the long standing juju of Aruchukwu, we still migrated and settled in Akwa Ibom. And Ntaradonam, till today, we have the language is almost similar. Una echoed Ofe, Yenikod, you know, Unete Udene, Yenikod Utere, Yenikod San. Sorry, Yenikod Efe, Mayanakod Ofe. So, I'm in the order, can you don't take her? So, whatever is gonna take, this is the right time. I was talking to somebody in front of me. I Yenikod Mister, Yebome, I'm in my medikiba, Kempo Biafra. No matter what it's going to take, I will give my life for Biafra to stand as an entity.
You have made some of us are moved to tears, to be honest with you. We are glad we have somebody like you, and we're going to take down your details. You send us your telephone number. We have a type of technology that will make it possible for you to host Radio Biafra program in Efik Ibibio language, even from Tbilisi in Georgia, in the former Soviet Union. We have the means to make that possible. You are a conscientious human being, and we love what you're doing. This is the first time you're calling Radio Biafra. We're taking your call live on air, and it's a wonderful thing. Just send us through Skype text, send us your number and your details. We know that we can get one or two other people to help you. We want to have 2 hours of every day, if it is possible, or once a week or once a month. We want to have a program dedicated to Efik and Ibibio to reinforce what we are saying, that we are one. And let me tell you something. If you allow me to stay amongst your people and learn Efik Ibibio language, I will be able to discern the similarities between what you have said. I think he was saying it. Efere, Ofere, and all the rest. It was sort of the similarities, the connections. He's even given us the history here, that we are one people. I don't know how we can sit there and somebody from Uguawasa, from Kanu, from Sokoto, from Ibadan will tell you that your own flesh and blood is not the same. And because of this nonsense, we are commissioning a project. After we must have bought our transmitter, we are going to do a mass DNA test. We want to prove where our boundaries are. We will test every ethnic group in the South, and we can tell you, we'll get independent experts to verify it. We'll fly the samples to the United States under strict instruction for these labs to test it and tell us if these bloods are not the same or not. That's what we're going to do. Thank you very much, my dear brother, for calling. You've made our evening. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Thank you very much. First, before you round up the call, I want you to know that by the time this program or this opportunity is given to me, I will make sure that Radio Biafra will stand in Georgia. As it is right now, there is no consulate of Nigeria in Georgia, and what we are organizing is like here. I gather the people of Biafra to I organize we have like Igbo group, you know. We have organization of Nigerians in diaspora in Georgia here, and as it is, an election is about to be organized, and I'm contesting for vice presidency.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you very, very much. And we shall do everything we can. We wish you can set up a contest for Biafran representative in Georgia. We will give you all the support in the world. Thank you very much and God bless you. But send us all the details. We want you to run and organize Radio Biafra Consultative Council in Georgia. We also want you to participate in programming in Efik and Ibibio languages. Thank you very much and God bless you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye. What do you have to say? Everybody is looking astonished.
He's so emotional.
Mentioning my turn, Arichuku. What else can you say?
He said that's where they come from. Do you hear what he said when he said
it? I heard it, even though I can't speak the Ibibio, I think.
You can see the similarities.
I can even understand what he was saying, even though he told us that he's going to speak his language.
Exactly. I understood what he said. Let's take this call, Uche, and then we'll come to you. There's somebody on the line. They have terminated the call. Please go ahead. Go ahead. Say what you say. If you call Radio Biafra, if you're listening, please, you try and stay on the line for a bit. Just don't terminate the call. Stay where you are. We shall definitely come to you. This is Radio Biafra. We've just taken a call from our brother in Tbilisi. That's in Georgia, former Soviet Union, incidentally. What were you saying? Were you picking up some of the words as he was speaking it?
Yes.
Or were you too emotional to listen?
I was emotional at the same time as I was listening to what he was saying, because the connection, like you said, Efere, Arochukwu, the state, how he was trying to put, calling someone about the Biafra, mm-hmm. that it's time for them to come together, mm-hmm. and make this Biafra to stand.
Let's take this. They keep calling, which country is 454? Is it here? Is it Canada? Is it United States?
454.
454. Is it US or?
US. It's US.
Is it US? Maybe there are. If you're from Akwa Ibom, if you're from Cross River, and you don't be afraid, you can call us, and if you don't know how to speak Ibibio or Efik, we won't make you speak it. Please stay on the line and talk to us and tell us what you would like to tell us. That this is Radio Biafra. Please, which I do apologize, I won't interrupt you anymore, but please, let's take the keep calling.
It's okay, you need the
calls. Maybe they like your voice.
We need the calls.
They like your voice. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you
Hello.
Are.
Yeah, this is Dr. Uzokwe, Dr. Gedi Uzokwe. I'm calling from London.
Yes.
I was in the BA Human Rights meeting today in London. This is the first time I attended. It was an interesting meeting.
That's very good.
And I had the opportunity to meet those who have actually been fighting for Biafra.
Yes.
And Adolf Emeka actually gave us the story about the court case and so on. You know, it's just to hear from the horse's mouth than reading it from the website or whatever. And then we also had an Akwa Ibom person who was there and who was also trying to let us know that we need to be speaking in the general language of English so that every person will understand and so on. And then I was moved by the last caller who is a phone call from Georgia, the Akwa Ibom person. It's good to know that some people from these areas of Biafra are actually as emotional as some of us are. I was very, very happy, and I think that guy has made my day, you know. Once more, I want to say to you, please, continue what you are doing. God will bless you, God will guide you, And I'm also using this opportunity to thank the people that are hosting this Radio Biafra in Toronto, Canada. And that's it.
Thank you very much, Dr. Uzogwe. Do you sleep at all because of radio? But, I feel sorry for you sometimes. Do you find time to sleep at all?
When you are busy traveling from one place to the other, keeping away, doing all this, and my own work is just to listen. And each time I listen to Radio Biafra, there is something I learn. I wish there is something that is holding me in this country, making me, you know, taking most of my time. If not, my only realization would be to be listening to Radio Biafra 24 hours, especially when the transmitter would be ready.
Yes,
I think that once we have our transmitter, the way this the broadcast and the education of our people would enlighten the whole of their friends, it will be massive. In fact, by the time the transmitter starts relating the news to the people, I think the issue of Biafra coming to be will be, it will come like that. I have that conviction, you know. I think what is holding us is that transmitter, and eventually even a television station. But with the transmitter, people make contribution, and the television station will come, and this should be our target. Actually, we have to keep preaching for people to keep making that contribution for us to get there.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. That is Dr. Uzogwe calling from England. He's a medical doctor. He's very dedicated. He always tries to call. He listens and he calls every night, which is a very good thing. He tries to, by night, I mean here. Although it's still sunshine outside. It's only past 8 p.m. here and there is still sunshine outside. Can my dear sister please, we will try to take this call. This is a call coming in from London. We've tried to keep them on hold for a while. Let us see if we can try to get them. No, we can't. Maybe he'll try and call us back when he's free to do so. You were saying something, please, and I do promise, even if the call comes in from Wilson Anene, we'll ask him to wait where he is until you finish. Please go ahead. It's your voice. If they hear it, they start calling.
I'm just going to brief it because less about what I was saying. You know, the guy motivated me a lot. Not because he spoke the Ibibio, is it Ibibio
language? Yes,
but the way he said that he wanted to pursue this. He wanted to organize people in Georgia. You see, the voice alone will tell you that there are all Biafrans out there that is, they are so eager to do something. And this is the kind of person that we need to. Like now, he called us. We have to, like the director said, he's going to talk to him later. Maybe he can organize a broadcast from Georgia. Mm-hmm. And people will be motivated, even the Akwa Ibom people. So they will know it's not only for Igbos, it's also for them. Because they know all their history. They are all Biafrans. And I don't know if our Canadians are sleeping or not.
No, they're not.
I haven't heard any call from them.
No, a few of them
are having
back picnic.
But not all of them, you know? Some are going to use it as an excuse that they're having
In fairness to them, I'm telling you, if you're complaining about Canada, you should have come with us to the U.S. Maybe you would have shot all of them. As they're coming at you, you'll be shooting them. Here is wonderful. We've done fantastically well here. This is Radio Biafra. Please, your name and where you're calling from. We are in Toronto, in Canada.
Hello, Nnamdi Kanu. My name is Dr. Wilson from London.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Go ahead, please. Go ahead. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Andy, I thank you so much for the job you are doing for our people. And I thank myself and other members of the editorial board of Radio Biafra for the job they are doing as well, because everybody is playing his or her part, you know. And I keep on saying, guard the number, don't give up, whatever. All these things we are seeing is a challenge. There must be an A government without opposition never move on, never move forward. And the more opposition is coming, if we defeat them, we'll be stronger and the stronger.
That is true. That's
another thing. And again, I thank God. I thank that my brother that called all the way from Georgia in Soviet Union or whatever, right. Close yes. to Soviet yes. Union. You know, and again, I would like you to preserve that his voice for those Thomas that are calling.
Yes, yes.
To save that voice, that's his for the Thomas. You know what I mean? Those Thomas, I mean.
Yes,
because they keep on to ask question. Today, although I was late to the meeting. As I'm getting there, you know the job I'm doing. As I'm getting there, they are closing. Although I met Egemba as well and others.
Yes.
To make sure that I'll be there. Normally, I could have said I don't want to go, but I make sure that I reach there, you know. But I thank God and I thank you so much. And also I thank that our sister there for bringing out her time, leaving the kids at home. To come out. Not every man can leave their wife to come and stay in the middle of men talking. It's to show that she's fighting for our children's future.
Yes.
Lord, may God bless her. Amen. May God bless her and also those our elders.
Her family. Amen. Amen.
Mind you people again, I want to touch something. Remember when this Biafra of 18, we don't need our elders to come and stand shouting Biafra. He's with the youth. Because when Ojukwu was about to fight for Biafra, he was 30s, I think. He wasn't, he's not 40s. Our elders then, they are the one working, doing the mathematics. He's the one standing at the front. So if we are thinking our elders these days to come and stand in the front fighting this battle, man, we are wasting time.
I agree with you.
Yeah, because I know how I met them at the airport. I'm doing cab. I'm a driver. I met them even today. I met somebody at the airport. If you are telling them about Biafra, they say Biafra. Man, if you don't take that, they will just fold you in your nose and there so that you will not get breeze and die and forget about Biafra or anything about Biafra. So, but I'm telling you, my brother, it's the youth who will get Biafra. Ojukwu was 30 something years or whatever to stand for Biafra. So we don't. Not everything that I tell you, 999. They may go Kenya. You can't have a lazy house. Their power is going back. It's we, the new bloods, supposed to come out. But I keep on praying, and we will surely get there.
Amen. Amen.
My bro, I wish you best. Thank I saw you in the picture. You are adding weight. Don't forget why you are there.
Akuna honey.
Good food.
It's good. I'm in a home. God love this guy's funny. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. This is Radio Biafra. Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes, please give us your name. Turn your system off, Banyoya, and speak to us through Skype because we can hear our own voices. Please,
can you hear? Hello, us? Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear. Yes, we can hear you. Yes.
Hello, please. Can you hear me?
We can
Thank
hear
you. Very
you.
Much.
Yes.
By the special grace of God, my name is Steve. Yeah, my name is Steve Oka. I am calling from Dakar, Senegal.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. You see, today is one of the remarkable days the Lord has made in His own special ways. You know, when God is about to do something, He does it in His own ways, and His ways can never be the ways of man. And also, an angel has came up, has surfaced from somewhere. That man that called from Georgia is an angel. And you see him, he was emotionally expressing how deep and what he felt for her mama, their mama Biafra, and I am leading to him to keep it up because I know he didn't just come. He said he has been trying to come. He's a devotional something. He has been devoted. He has the zeal to fight to any length to give whatever it takes to convince even his people. Because our problem are some doubting Thomas, people who are saying, am I going to join them? Am I going to come? And God has brought him out now. And I am sure by the special grace of Almighty God, He is really going to do something to assist you because you work so much. I personally, I was writing you, I'm praying for you. I'm monitoring where you're going. I wrote you on Facebook, say, and we need more people who can help you so that your burden will be more lesser. Because the burden on you is too much. You are meeting different people from here to here. I was calling my brother, he's a medical doctor in London, to ask him what you need. Somebody who fly, who always stay in flight, and the medicine you can be taking. Let it be my own contribution to your health, because I see how crucial you are to the Biafrans.
I'm honored. Thank you very much. I'm honored. Thank you very, very much.
God bless you.
Thank you very much, my dear brother. Thank you, and God bless you too. Thank you. Our people, but they still say we are not united. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
Eh? People are praying for you. People are looking after you. People are taking care of you, cooking for you, feeding you, keeping you, sustaining Radio Biafra, and you're saying Igbos are not united. Does it? It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Of course, we are more than united. We love ourselves, and that is why we are in Toronto here in Canada. And the lines are very mental. Let's take this call, please. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. This is Radio Biafra.
Yeah, hello, Chief Namde. This is Okay Onyeneho from Germany.
Yes, okay. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good man. Go ahead.
The guy from Georgia, you know, I've been crying here, you know, because I think it's a very big lesson, you know, to all these doubting Thomases, you know, yes. More especially from our own side, the Igbos, you understand?
Yes.
You know, because sometimes when you tell them, I was not born when this war was fought, I know, but my father was a captain with a St. John's Ambulance, then he was treating people, you know, Kwashoko and other things. You know, but there's a question I have. You know, is it possible that, you know, we can, you know, create, you know, some of these, you know, languages, you know, in Biafra land, that, you know, maybe before you come on air, that, you know, these people, some people from maybe this Ibibio or something, you know, or some other languages, you know, can come on air too. Maybe we have talented people, we have, you know, musicians, good music from, you know, Biafran land, that we can be playing that from east, from south, from, you know, that, you know, we keep people, you know, busy, that people will know, even creating all these jingles, you know, something that these people will know that, yes, you know, we are serious. What we are doing, and the other people, you know, the other side, we know that at least they are involved too. That is my question, my brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and your question is not out of place. It is a valid question, and the answer is very simple. We are doing it. We told our brother to send us his details, and he's done that immediately. We have his telephone number. We are going to do precisely that. We are going to form a jingle. I think it's going to be at least the basis for some sort of lingua franca as we go ahead, because how you form lingua franca is you take words that are in commonality across the dialects of the people you're trying to put together and make them one. And I have my own theory as to why they speak a different dialect in Yefik and Ibibio. They are all from Arechukwu. But I think when we sinned against God, everybody was running away. What happened at Tower of Babel happened to us. God gave us different languages so that we may know that He exists as God, as punishment for going contrary to His wishes. I'm telling you the truth. That is what happened. Because as we said before, we'll do it when we go back to Biafra land. We are going to do a very simple thing. We are going to ask white people, please tell us where these people come from. Are they from one family or not? And they can trace their origin and tell us. Our languages is important to us. I love Efik, I love Ibibio, I like Ijaw language, I like Igbo language as well. They are all from the same family, believe it or not. There is nobody in that area, if you speak Igbo to them, they won't understand. If you're speaking Ibibio to me, if I concentrate very, very hard, I can tell you what you're saying. It is the same thing. It's like going to Nsukka. If you go to Nsukka and they speak Igbo language, believe you me, you think you're somewhere in Nasarawa. You won't hear a word they're saying, but they're speaking Igbo language. If I go into Ibeko and begin to speak Ibeko very well, people will find it difficult to understand what I'm saying. So people have dialects. In England, if somebody from Liverpool is speaking English, you will not hear words.
Even here in Germany too, you know.
Exactly.
If somebody from Bayern speaks, you know, you will know somebody from the other side of, you know, but the same thing. It's only concentration. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We are the same people. Thank you very, very much. And God bless you, my brother. Thank you. We are happy that people are awake all over the world calling us here in Toronto. Uche is very upset because the people in Canada, she, I don't know what she's going to do to them. But they're good people. I'm asking her to leave. The Canadians are here. They have been coming. And that's also here with us in the studio. That's the four of us here in the studio. They are having a picnic. We've been there. They're expecting us to go back and address them. And we shall do so. Thank you very much, my brother, for calling. And God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Yes.
So you're calling me Uche now.
Is Uche, isn't it? Oh, sorry. is your husband's name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll call it Uche, you know, as all those names. They are all Umahi names. Let's take this call, and I will come back and you clarify it for me, and I won't get it wrong again. This is Radio Biafra. Give me your name and where you are. We've lost. Wanya Hagozo, because I won't mistake it.
Oge Chukwu Kamma. Oge Chukwu Ume Izuma.
That is Chukwu there, isn't it? Is that Chi there?
Yeah,
that
is.
Is the same thing. Wanya Parahadi,
I will
go to you. Of course. This is Radio Biafra. Tell us you're calling us from Canada, please, before they kill us here. What is your name and where you're calling from? Yes, go ahead.
My brother, this is Sipanye from Denmark. I'm calling from Denmark. I tried to call before, but the line is...
Okay. You are calling from Denmark. That is, you are not from Canada.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Please, go ahead.
Well, not so far. Denmark. So I've been following the work you are doing there and your group, and I think it's quite commendable anyway.
Thank you.
So because more grease to your elbow, I'm just trying to test the line now because I wasn't sure that it will go through. So
it will. We are ever resilient. It always goes through. Thank you.
You are really doing.
Thank you.
You are really doing us proud. I think. And you need to know that.
Thank you very much.
Actually, I sent you a message a few days ago through Skype. You know.
We worked on it. As you know, it's only me now. Kidega is no longer here. So I know.
But I want to tell you is this: that anything that or any way you think I can be of help. If you have someone in Denmark working hard.
Thank you.
I'm not broadcasting it here, but I'm doing my best in different ways. I will tell you later what I'm doing also.
Wonderful.
In that direction. I believe that there's no other way other than Biafra. That's, for me, that's what I believe. Even though that around here, some people get, when you mention Biafra, it's like you drop a bomb on their head or their ass. I mean,
yes.
It's really terrible, but you understand that, or people who understand that mostly ignorance is the problem. Because yes. People are people that that are concentrating all their life chasing money and doesn't always have time to think. And they don't always have time to understand what is going on around them. Mm-hmm. So, like you're very upset about Americans, but at the same time I see that you didn't really understand how people there think. They don't really think that other people. They don't think like normal people, really, put it that way. The Americans, when they talk about the world, the other people, they tell you they are going to the world. So they believe they are living in different world altogether. And that is the way their mentality works. Unfortunately, when our people move over there, sometimes when you talk to them, you just get so disappointed even talking to them. You don't really think that you're talking to human beings, you know, because their way of reasoning is just like they are so ignorant about even their next door. You just don't understand where they are coming from. So it makes sense when they say they are going to the world, that they are not from this world, you know. So when you get upset, I want you to calm down sometimes and understand where they are coming from. I mean, I see the difference now when you go to Canada or something like that.
Canada is different.
Because we used to say here that, we used to say that Canada is like a cross between Europe and America.
Yes.
Like in between, you know.
Yes.
So they are a little bit, they are not so rough like America, and they are not so cold like Europe.
Like Europe. So, that is true. It's exactly. A very good analogy.
I really like, there's something I want to suggest if it's possible. I know it's a really huge job, you know, but honestly, to tell you one thing, I'm not a fan of promoting English language, to be honest.
I understand.
I think we need to really try as much if we can, if possible, every session, at least even if it's 30 minutes or 1 hour for at least Igbo language, because a lot of people that I talk to, they say that, well, it's a grammar thing, you know. I mean, I can understand some people that they feel like they are now disconnected already, you know, because when we start all this English thing and all that, for me also, I'm always against it, you know. So
it's understandable.
We can try.
I do understand, but it's because what we're going to do is once we have the Efik language and the Ibibio language, and we have Edo. No, there were some people who kill us. If you mention Edo, they will kill us. They say Edo is not part of Biafra.
No.
Well, they will kill us.
We'll take it easy.
Yes, thank you very much.
I think
my
we'll take it easy.
Yes, of course.
With like this guy that come from Georgia.
Yes.
I think those kind of people, but the most important thing, we know that we can't, and this guy in Libos, and I have to share our volume. We can't leave the Igbos are the main backbone there. And all these groups, I see them here, we talk around, but I mean, you could see that they are burning more for Biafra than most Igbos. But still, when we start this kind of thing, we will still recognize that Igbos are the main people that will be in front.
Of course.
So our promoting our language, our language will be our best move to call them, to tell them that this is for you. So that they will know that this is not a British business.
It's not a British business. Yeah. But we must also realize that our people are in Akwa Ibom, they are in Cross River, they are in Bayelsa, they are in Ogonilands, they are in all those places. We must make it palatable for them to belong.
You're right.
Once we have all these languages, we can have Igbo program for 3 hours, Ibibio Efik language for 3 hours. We can have our own languages, but in the main, we use English because the world is also listening.
Sure.
So thank
that's
you.
That's what I mean. You know, like when you get this, let the English be part of it also, so people will be there. So I'm really, really happy. And then I'm trying to organize few people that will be interested, because it hasn't been easy for me to convince my people that Nigeria is not anything for anybody, unless people that want to die.
Don't convince them. So, ask them to listen to Radio Biafra. Don't even convince them. Say hi to Radio Biafra. Listen to Radio Biafra only. That's all they need to do.
Exactly. I'm doing that, of course.
Thank you very much.
But anyway, sorry. You say what?
Yes, what are you doing to organize our people? Are you doing the best you can to spread the message?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You know, I sent you a message. Actually, I'm the secretary here, you know, for Igbo Union. So I've been doing my best, but it hasn't been easy.
Not easy. Just ask them to listen. Ask them to listen to Radio Biafra. That's all you need to do. Ask them to listen to Radio Biafra. And thank you very much. Stay where you are. Let's take this call. Yeah. Stay where you are. Don't go away. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please.
I'm Father Raymond Nwegede from Ebonyi State.
Father Raymond Nwegede, is that correct?
Yes.
Father, where are you based?
I'm a student in Cleveland, Ohio, but right now I'm in Tennessee for one month holiday.
You are in Tennessee, you are a Reverend Father, you are in Cleveland in Ohio, but you are in Tennessee on holiday. This is Radio Biafra from Toronto. Your voice is being heard all over the world. Go ahead, please.
I just called to say I'm very happy. Nobody told me about Radio Biafra. Just because of my inquisitiveness, I kept on googling Biafra till I got Radio Biafra. So I've been following the program. I'm so happy. And I'm just saying you should continue. You know, if I have nothing to offer, at least prayer, I'll be praying for you and all the people that are working towards the reinstatement of our nation. So that's the thing why I called. And some other thing I would like to add is this. I know some people have been contributing, but I'm only adding that you continue to emphasize on the need for this transmitter, because I know many people would like to follow, but they are not. So since you came to United States, I know people have been calling, but I've not known much apart from the person that offered himself to take the lead by giving some calling on 99 people. I don't know whether any other person has done that, so I would like you to continue to emphasize the need, because when I heard you say that you've been on this struggle for over 15 years, somehow it scares me. I ask myself, you've been working, been fighting, and up to now, we are not seeing the destination yet, but I know with God and the effort of your effort and other people who are working hard, I know God will really help us.
Amen. Amen. It's a good thing that you're calling, because maybe when you pray, God can listen to you faster and quicker than he will listen to me or other people. You need to pray, and pray very, very hard, and also make a sacrifice, because you are a minister of God. When you go to church, people pray, and when they finish praying, as a priest, you will always bring out a collection bowl. You must take collection, regardless of the condition. Even if there is Hurricane Katrina, I don't know what the name of all after women, or Hurricane Joanne, or Mary, you always bring out your tray to collect collection at the end of the day. Believe you me, if we had the money to buy the transmitter, nobody would hear about it. I feel ashamed having to ask our people to help us buy a transmitter. If I abandon Radio Biafra and go back to work in 1 year, I'll make that money and I'll buy the transmitter. I'll do my contract for 8 months and I'll buy the transmitter. But the thing is that we need to ask our people, do they want us to close Radio Biafra down whilst we go back to work to go and work for money for the transmitter? If they want us to do that, then we do that. We close it down for 8-9 months, go and do some work for transmitter, and then come back again and then start. Then if we want to go forward, if we want to take go on to court, then we close Radio Biafra down and then go and work for money to bring go on to court, and then we restart again. Why are we like this? I keep asking myself. Clifford Inouye came up and said, I need only 99 people in America. It's not up to the amount of money they spend in a weekend. Give us 500 British pounds each person. We'll go and buy a transmitter. It's there waiting for us. I don't want to say the name of the place in England where it is. It's in a crate, in a container already. The transmitter is in a container already waiting for us. They cut open a small hole for their conditioner. They'll be cooling it down because it generates a lot of heat. So we've run everything. So what are we waiting for? What are we? Our people raised for Shagari's campaign $130,000 in America. $130,000 for Muhammad Buhari's campaign. They cannot give us money to buy a transmitter. Everybody in America, we are telling you this, go and mark it down. We know those who are with us. We will get Biafra. People from America will have to go and queue at the Biafran embassy for visa to come back home. You hear again, man? All of them, one after the other. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you. I still have one other thing.
Go ahead.
Another thing that the condition of my state, how come there are U.S. anyway? I just came in January, so I can be new in U.S. So it was going to be so global. I'm around Nigerian government, even our politicians, has been and all. So I know I'm not doubting your intelligence and the intelligence of the people there. I'm a Chukwu, because I secure this transmitter. You mean that Chukwu may be here, because I know they would not like to hear that, and they will fight tooth and nail to see that the island is closed or whatever. So I know you'll be thinking towards that direction, because security of the transmitter is another thing. So I know maybe one of the guy will be.
I will answer you openly so that the whole world listening will understand what we're saying. The transmitter we are buying has the range of 2,500 miles when we broadcast 7 p.m. every evening. What it means is that this particular system can be located anywhere from Cairo in Egypt to Kinshasa in Congo.
Okay.
And our people back home will get it. I don't know if that has answered your question. We are not daft. We're not going to spend nearly £70,000 moving, transporting, building all the masts only for some buffoons to go and break it. They will go and pay some people wearing Biafran t-shirt to go and knock it down. And talk, they will pay myself to go and do it. And Wazulike will gladly accept the contract to go and destroy the transmitter bought by Biafran, because he's an agent of Nigeria. He will do it gladly without hesitation. So we know what we are doing. We are not children. Some of us are educated in England, of all places. So we know the tricks they know. We have come a long way. Nobody can touch our transmitter, I can tell you that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I am very, very, very supportive. And if I pray that my holiday will at least yield little, then I also make my own little donation. But all I know is that I'm behind you and I continue to pray for you. And other things, like now I don't have a church. Where I'm spending my vacation is just it's a very far place. Yeah, I'm doing it black. I've gone to many places up to 600 people. I'm only the black. So here I cannot do anything. Even when I go back to Ohio for now, I cannot do anything because I don't have a church where I celebrate. So if you can also continue to even appeal to our people, because I know many of our priests are here. Many of them are pastors in various churches, both at least Catholic, that one I know very well. So you can also enlighten people more through them. I know it's not easy to convince them, but with their continuous effort, I know they will realize the need and help us advertise this and talk to people directly. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, my dear brother. Thank you very much. That's at least there are no more Yoruba pastors. This is Radio Biafra. Please give us your name and where you are. And we thank you for your patience. You've been waiting for a very long time. What is your name and where are you calling from, please?
My name is Emeka Igwe. Calling from Brisbane.
From Brisbane in Australia?
Yeah, absolutely.
Please go ahead. The world is listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, Nnamdi, I want to thank you and other crew members of Radio Biafra for your work and dedication. I've been following the program since last year. I don't know if you remember, but I've been calling since that time.
Yes.
Yeah. So I want to thank you. In fact, I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough because your work and the fruit are visible to everybody. I want to contribute with regards to language. Sometimes when I hear people speak Igbo, I'm an Igbo, as my name shows, I'm an Igbo, but when I hear people speak Igbo, I feel with my brothers who are from Ikote, Benin, Ijaw, and all those places. So I feel with them because they are being turned off. So I seriously solicit that we use English for now.
Yes.
Then at the end of the day, we go back to our languages, because I feel bad. I feel the pain that I can't speak Ikote Beni. When I was in school in Nigeria, we have Ikote Beni guys, but when they speak their language, I don't understand, you know, because, and that is the misfortune of being a Nigerian, you know. So these are some of the languages we should know and know their culture, so that we know what appeals to these our brothers, what they like and what they don't like. That is how we know people very well. So I'm also very happy to hear from a Reverend Father. Like last year, I said something about, you know, getting our clergymen to know of what is happening. I'm very much glad to hear from our spiritual leader. You know, when we back on struggle like this and realize that both our political and spiritual leaders are with us, it gives us confidence. It gives us courage. I'm happy. I'm happy that at least one is on our side, and I believe also there are others who are listening. So when they call like this, it encourages many people. It encourages even students who are in the university, you know, to devote to the struggle. So that is all I have to say for now. At least let's consider our brothers from other tribes, so that we don't turn them off with our language. I understand it's not easy. Yeah, language gives security and all that. But at this point, I don't think it is the wise thing to be using our local language to Igbo, particularly, to be broadcasting, unless we have to make it give preference also to other languages, not just Igbo. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my dear brother. Thank you, and God bless you. He's calling from Brisbane in Australia. Thank you for your call. We are now going to go to what we said we're going to do previously. Please, Ogechi, is that correct?
Ogechukwu.
Is the same thing. Ogechi and Ogechukwu. Oh,
Chi and Chukwu.
Chi and Chukwu. Yeah.
Ogechukwu. You want it pronounced in full? Ogechukwu. You will finish. Did your father tell you anything about what do you recall about Biafra?
You know,
growing up as a child, please.
It's so sad because I'm not going to lie. He told me how he fought the war. But, you know, when your father is telling you something and you're not interested in it, you don't listen.
Yes.
You just feel like it's not your business. You don't care. It's gone. And because of that, I wasn't listening attentively whenever he's talking about something, about what happened and how he fought and how he went from Anambra, Enugu and Nick, the way they went through. And he said mm-hmm. something like, I think he said they called the, Comrand or whatever? I can't remember, I'm sorry. But
yes.
I promise I'm gonna call him, or he might call the Radio Biafra and talk to them as well,
mm-hmm.
or I'll get the more information.
There is no
I don't want to say anything that is not true.
Yes.
So I want to be sure, to be precise, whatever I'm going to talk about mm-hmm. to be true. So I'm sorry about
that. That's
I'm
okay.
not
going to
say
that's
anything
okay.
for that right
let,
now.
Let us go to the man that did something, and this is the time for him to tell us what his encounters were like. During that very campaign, there was a place, okay, that there were some guns blazing on top. And what happened?
This was towards the tail end of the war. We called it that Operation Open Corridor. That was when the federal troops connected on mine. So those of us at Arochukwu were called Biafra 3. So we wanted to fight through.
Biafra 3 is the 3rd Brigade, is it?
You have Biafra 1, which is Owerri area. You have Biafra 2, which is Ngwa area, Mbasi area.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Biafra 3, Arochukwu area.
Mm-hmm.
So when the federal troops from Ekotek, when they linked to them in Arochukwu.
Not federal, when the Nigerian troops.
When the Nigerian troops connected on Maha, you know, then people in Arochukwu were cut off. In fact, it so happened that that was in the Christmas of 1969, and I was on holidays in my village, Amobi village, Arochukwu, and I was there, you know. So around January 2nd, my troops, they were coming through in Kana Bridge, and they were coming out there. In fact, I saw my troops, you know. Then I was at MP at Aremelulu, so
that's your brigade or whatever. Your
That's my unit, you know. I was a military police officer at Aremelulu. Then I saw Captain Lan, he was my commander there in the military police then. So immediately I saw him, I said, "My daddy, I'm going." He said, "Oh, no." I said, "No, I'm good." Immediately I went and dressed up and I joined them. So from there, we trekked all the way to Ohafia High School. That's where, in fact, the whole brigade, it was STFD that was in Arochukwu then. That on Hafia School, that's where they gathered all their, in fact, in that all the ammunition we were looking for, it was all there, because, you know, some officers, we are, you know, kinky with their armor. They like to save some, but we had all this armor in the field. And we had two buffer guns, and boy, most of the hospitals were emptied with soldiers, sick soldiers. What did we use as the to carry the soldiers? It was door, you know, four door, you know. You put the soldiers on the door, and four soldiers carry them from each corner, just like they're carrying the cops. You know, so that night, the big night, I think it was January 9, we started the operation. We had around 11 at night. There was a major, I don't even know his name, he's a tall black man, a major, and he was leading the operation. Immediately he moved, we followed
him. What was the operation about? What was it about? What was the assignment?
Those are forces that were cut off at Arochukwu.
Mm-hmm. It's to break through.
We wanted to fight these people at Hofia and, you know, Ozuakore, fighting them through the bush, you know, to get to, you know, Okigwe.
To establish a link with the...
Yes, with, you know, the Biafra one. That's what we... That's
you
what
were in Biafra 2 or 3?
We were in Biafra 3, Arochukwu.
You were in Biafra 3, Arochukwu area. Yeah. Your assignment was to break through enemy lines and then reestablish with connection with Biafra 1.
Yes.
Stationed around Ozuakore.
No, this is Okigwe.
An Okigwe area.
But okay. We have to go through Zakal.
Yes.
But the first operation was at Onhofia, you know, so it wasn't an ugly sight. I can tell you that. Because we encountered the enemy twice. First people, the officers with some boys hit them early in the morning and broke through. In fact, they joined the Lion Brigade that was at Uzuabam, you know.
Uzuabam, yes. The Lion Brigade was at Uzuabam.
Yes, well, they joined them there. Then we were the second group, you know, we were sleeping at night when these people crossed over. And then I also knowing that some people have crossed through there, they reinforced the borders, you know. Then we were coming with a multitude of unhappy people. How many guns? We only had 7 machine and brownie. We had 3 machine guns, and you know, here they call, when I mean machine gun, I mean standing machine gun with tripod.
The tripod, yes.
And we have 4 brownies and 3 machine guns. And some people had, we call it Madison, that's what they call AK-47.
Here. Madison in those days.
We call it Madman. That's the best gun. You can play with it like a baby. You know, sweet is the best gun, to be honest with you. And so, we wanted to go for this operation. In fact, that morning, some of us haven't eaten for 3 days. In fact, we caught pawpaw tree and ate the fruit. You cut it open, you see the pawpaw is white. You know, we just ate everything. You know, anything that is, anything that is
looks edible,
you eat it. You know, so. That's why we started. Then most of us, we were looking for an officer to lead us. None of us were. Even the officers, to be honest with you, some of them that were captain, they were tearing away their captain badges. And so it was one soldier, it was a sergeant, he told us that he joined the Biafra Army during the early part. I've forgotten what they called them, you know. So he told us this is what has happened. And he told us that how we cross this enemy line now is with our number. You know, we only have 4 brownies and 4 machine guns. Lucky I think we had somebody with a bagel. You know, I don't know what you did.
If you blow it, you charge.
Yeah, so the guy told us, we extended our formation. He told the people with the machine gun, they just open fire at the enemy direction. And once they open the fire, all we have to do, all should be. Then we start running to them. It's an ugly sight.
And they were cutting people down.
Oh my God. You know how I survived? I ran behind other. In fact, 2 people in front of me before we got to the hill. But the officers, they ran away.
So without guns, you people were able to overpower, and
the thing is that we were running. Because it's when we get to them, it becomes hand-to-hand combat. They've killed people. They were killing. But we were about 100,000. When we get to them, it becomes hand-to-hand combat. Because close combat, you don't need any gun.
And we defeat them if it's close.
If it's hand-to-hand, it just 5 minutes. 5 minutes you close with a buff, a Biafra buff close with another 5 minutes, it's over.
Well, Biafra of this freedom fighters, the buff, yes, in a hand-to-hand combat with Nigerian soldier, Nigerian soldier cannot last for 5 minutes.
5 minutes, just go for the vital organs. You just, you know, just like what do you call it, spaghetti. They've just dropped. You have, we were taught to kill without the person making sense. Just go for the vital, you know, just like put up the switches,
and they go down.
And they go, and that they knew that once you kill them up to the hill, they had
they ran away.
Yes. And we chased them, you know, father on Taro. We came to around this corner. That was their second defense. Boy, when we got there,
They opened up again.
In fact, I was a young boy of 17. I was 18 then. I was running with all my energy just to be among the first people to cross. But when they opened fire, all they have to do is that dashed on the floor. You roll to the culvert, you know, the
culvert, bottom. The bridge, yes.
Yeah, that's what I took over, you know. So the team was going. That's, boy.
So what you're saying, in effect, that if you people who had the same amount of equipment they had,
then it would be no contest. It would be no contest. In fact, let me tell you, when we got to that hill, okay, these soldiers, they were in their trenches, they had this, foam. You know, this Vita foam they use for putting their head, and they had buckets of armor. You know, let's
take this call, it's getting very interesting. Let's try and take this call, please. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please.
Manna,
yes,
there we are. Oh, with the call to me, the guy, I'm on your half. I'm listening to my brother there talking about the Biafra from 5 and 4. I wanted to tell him that.
I don't know where you are. It's very noisy. I don't know where you are. It's a bit noisy because it's very interesting. What we're discussing is. It's better now. Go ahead. Can I manage you too? Go ahead.
Yes. One of them will come.
Yes. Yes, we are listening. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, unfortunately, it looks like I'm getting a feedback. I'm in a place called Hamilton. That's about 30 minutes from you.
You're in Hamilton. Here, they are in our studio. You come to the studio of Radio Biafra. What are the age?
No, I think what I'm going to do, before you leave Toronto, I will have to come down and see you in Toronto, because I'm 30 minutes away from you.
Okay, come down. Let us discuss.
And I want to meet my brothers from Arujuku. I'm from Ahafia, like I said. And I was in Biafra in Bok 4 and Bok 5. And also, I was fought at Okigwe too. So we're going to sit down and talk about this thing.
We want to hear these stories. We want to hear them. A lot of you came to Ghana. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. You see what these things can bring. If not for what you are saying now, he wouldn't have called. That is how it works. People are listening. A lot of people are listening, even here in Canada. When you say something that touches them, they will call. Now he's coming to see you. I told you that when you were telling us this story, that when you say it on air, it will resonate with our people. Because what you're describing, the guns you carried, how you assaulted this very hill, that was heavily fortified. And Hausa people ran away with Yoruba people. You know, Yoruba will be at the back. As Hausa is running, Yoruba is pursuing them. That's the way they are, because they are cowards. Now, you are here recounting what happened, not telling us, we went from Arochukwu to Ahafia and then to Gang Connect. You are giving us a live account, a first experience of what you encountered, line by line, piece by piece. You are mentioning the ammunition that was used. You are describing the battle for us, and I'm loving it. It's not putting me off. It's making me realize how brave some of you fought. And the reason why I've asked you to recount this thing on air live is this. To remind our people that they are very special people. We are fearless in battle. We are fearless in battle. You have said it here that all you need to do is to give a Biafra, it is called BOFIS, Biafra Organization of Freedom Fighters. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Give a BOF member with a Nigerian soldier only 5 minutes. Not up to 5 minutes,
yeah.
And they'll drop and they'll die.
Yeah.
And that is why anytime we charge their lines and it is close quarter combat, they run away. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
They run away. Let us take this call. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you are.
Hello, my name is Nduka Ezechukwu. I'm calling from Calgary, Canada.
Yes, Nduka, how are you? How are you? Great man.
Fine, thank you. First of all, I want to say thank you, Nnamdi Kanu. Thank you for coming to Toronto to broadcast to our people. I'm so glad that you made it, and I'm so glad that you're here. But it might sound surprising to you. I am not so much impressed by the number of calls coming from Canada as a whole to Radio Biafra, unfortunately, because I know there are great cities in this country. It shouldn't be only Toronto people calling in. I know there's Vancouver, there's Calgary, there's Edmonton, there's Ottawa, there's Quebec, there's Nova Scotia, there's Winnipeg, there's Regina, Saskatoon, Montreal, and Fort McMurray. These are great cities in this country, and I know there are Biafrans in this place. There are Igbos, there are Efik, there are Ibibios, there are Ijaws and Urobos in these great cities. If they're not calling in, I'm very much sure that they listen to Radio Biafra because of the kind of response we're getting on the Facebook. But unfortunately, they're not calling in, they're not making any contribution, they're not showing interest. I'm disappointed. So as a result, I'm trying to let people call in, let people say their mind, let people dial into the into this program and make contributions, because what is being discussed right now is our future, our survival, our getting to where we are, our hope is. So, secondly, I have a question to you, Nnamdi.
Go ahead.
I'm very much aware that there's this plan on coming out en masse from the rising sun in Tokyo, Japan,
yes,
to the rising of the sun to the far western side of the globe, which is California.
Yes.
I'm using this media to bring it up. It's not just coming, it's not just you coming and you going, and we in Toronto or those in Calgary or Ottawa or Quebec, we should know that if we do not, this should be in our agenda too, that we're looking forward to going to Ottawa, to not to Nigerian embassy, because Nigeria is nothing to write home about. We're going to the seat of government, the parliament here, to showcase, to tell them that this is our plight, this is our plight, this is our problem. So Canadians should actually understand that this plan is in the pipeline.
Yes.
That we'll get to the government and tell them that we, Biafrans, are suffering in Nigeria, that we've come to tell them that Nigeria should let my people go. We are tired of being this the wife of the rich wife and the poor husband, as Lugard said it to the Queen of England.
Yes.
And the rich wife is the southern side of the country, which is very, very terrible. It's a plan to fail. So these things are things I want us to I wanted to talk more about. And is this plan still on? Is this,
yes,
still happening?
Yes.
What are we saying about it?
Yes, it
and
happening.
These are the things I want to talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. It is still on, and we are going to address it. It is still on. Let us attempt to take this call. We said we will meet any good people, but that is going to change, and we'll tell you why in a minute. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you are.
My name is John Onyeka, calling from Nagoya, Japan.
You are calling from Japan?
Yes.
Go ahead, the world is listening. We have here with us Ogechukwu. I don't want to make a mistake. Ogechukwu. And DK is also here. We are surrounded by brave people, and also our dear brother Obonnaya, who is a veteran, telling us first eyewitness account. This is the only time this has ever happened, you know that. This is the only time that the experience of a true veteran is being recounted live on any radio show on this planet.
Yeah.
That is what we do, because we are Radio Biafra and we speak the truth. Go ahead, the world is listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm so happy, you know, to have your voice. I've been trying for a long time to connect to Radio Biafra. but you know, most of the time it was difficult, you know. Okay, so because I've been trying to get you people through Skype.
Yes.
But it was, yeah, but now I saw this number, you know, in the website, radiobiafra.co.
Yes.
And I said that I decided to try it and it worked out. So yes, happy. What I'm trying to say is that, first of all, I want to thank you so much and your team, you know, because what you guys are doing now is what our internal leader dream of the Nobu Dupu. He foresaw it and he expected the youth, you know, because he believed, and which is very true, that they have given what they have paid their dues. And now I'm very happy what you guys, that you guys, because I'll be able to do that. Nobu that Nobu Dupu and Nobu Dupu. So this movement is like a train. Nobody can stop it. It's not possible. Anybody that tries it will be crushed. No apology for that.
Yes, I agree.
We have started it. We have started it. No going back. No matter what it takes. You know, some people, all those cowards that are saying that that are afraid of death. How many people are being killed by armed robbers? How many people are being killed by kidnappers? How many people are being killed all over the place through fake products? And you are afraid to die. Let me tell you, the amount of people that are being killed today, if you are in war front, it will not go up to that number.
I agree with you.
So keeping silent is that we are dying double by keeping silent. So no matter whatever it is going to take, our freedom, I'm for it. Me and my household. So nothing is going to stop us.
Yes.
Freedom. What is that which is greater than what? Life. And that is what? Freedom. This is the ways of our ancestors. That there is something that is greater than life, and that thing that is greater than life is freedom.
Yes.
Even if it demands our life, we give it, because our ancestors taught us that is greater than life. It's greater than life. So life means nothing without it. So we have started on a very good note. So I'm very happy, and you know, I'll be happy in the future that if you guys can, you know, make arrangement to come to Japan, that would be a good idea.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. First of all, before we don't go anywhere where we are not invited, that is number one. So we are grateful for your invitation. Secondly, we don't go anywhere where the people are not organized, at least 10 people minimum. We need 10 people in Japan. If you're up to 10 in Japan, then Radio Biafra will come to Japan. We need 10 people only in Japan. 10 people. There is our brother who is in India. His name is Evans. He said he will do something when he goes to Japan. We are still waiting. Now you have called us from Japan, which incidentally is where we are going to start our worldwide demonstration from. As the sun rises in Japan, because it is the land of the rising sun, that is where the sun rises from and makes its way westwards towards every major capital in the world. 12 noon in each country will demonstrate until the sun sets over the Bay of San Francisco in California, to let the world know that there is a group of people called Biafrans, and they are willing, able, and ready to rise up and reclaim what is rightfully theirs, which is the freedom of their people, the separation of Biafra from the contraption called Nigeria. We are grateful for your call. Continue to organize the people in Japan. Speak to your people. You have dedicated yourself and your family to the service of your country, Biafra, the same way we have our brother here recounting how he served his country. We are very grateful to you. Continue to spread the good message of Radio Biafra and organize Japan. Once you're ready, come back to us and we'll come to Japan.
Like, yeah, we have our Yamigo Mbakondi, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, already.
Go and speak to them. Tell them to listen to Radio Biafra. Don't preach to anybody. Say to people, listen to Radio Biafra. That's all. Tell them to go to www.radiobiafra.co. That is the only preaching we want people to do. Don't say anything to them. Don't convince them about Biafra. Don't tell them Biafra is coming. Ask them to listen to Radio Biafra, listen to previous broadcasts, and they'll be converted. Thank you very much for calling, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, my dear brother, your story is a very touching one. It's a very moving one. And we know that we promised the Enugu people we are coming back. Is that correct?
Yes.
This program continues tomorrow, is it? Mm-hmm. Do we have the permission, or do you want us to continue?
Oh, yeah. For me, I think, I don't know what you want. Do you want to go? Or
no.
Because it's, I don't know if there's still more people calling in.
Yes, people...
It's getting excited.
It is getting exciting, of course.
But because the excitement I'm seeing now, I think... is from that Georgia guy. It's not going off from my head.
The guy that comes from Georgia.
If you think the guy from Georgia, that's the only person. Once we get this transmitter transmitting all over Nigeria,
oh my goodness.
There are more people from that area.
Yes.
You know, the reason why you don't hear from them, and if we don't get to them, that's why the Northerners and the Yorubas are...
Get to them first, they have the means to get to them.
So we have to get to them, and we have the evidence to tell them that we're not the... You know, we're not the oppressors here.
Yeah,
we're not the ones stealing your oil. We're not the ones oppressing, spoiling, polluting your lands. These are the names. Danjuma said he made so much money, he doesn't know what to do with it.
Yes.
You have Abacha. You have the Shehu of Borno.
Yes.
You have them now, people like El Rufai coming out now, telling Goodluck Jonathan and the Minister of Petroleum, Desiane Madueke, not to have the right to allocate oil blocks when they themselves have been in charge of doing the same thing over this year. So these are we have the evidence. The evidence is just right there. It's just for us to know what to do. Get the transmitter to these people, and you see things. You see more people like that coming, calling, not even from Georgia, but right there from Akwa Ibom. Yeah.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. We want to continue to hear about what happened. It is key that we understand what happened to the bravery of our people. Was this encounter the only time you had us come face to face with the enemy?
Like I told you, we drove them for their first defense. Now we were heading to their second defense. It was up a hill and at a corner, just like a road. They dug their trench by the road there.
Mm-hmm.
As we were coming, they opened fire on us. Some of us, we are like myself, I dashed to the ground, I rolled myself into the gutter. I had my AK-47.
So at that age, at that very tender age, you had started firing a gun?
Oh, sure. Look, I've killed, I'm just telling you the last battle I was in, before the war ended. So as we were, in fact, to be honest with you, I was shaking, because the first time I put my hand, I was pressing the trigger guard, not even the trigger. And the gun wasn't going up still, and I looked and put my hand in the trigger and the gun went. So I put it in front of me and was firing. And these, house soldiers, they would have their machine gun. And then it came to me. This boy, I thought they told us the people use food. This boy was at the middle of the road with a Mark 4 cocking it and shooting and going forward. I was looking at
gun and bullets were running to his direction.
No, yeah, bullet was all of a sudden he came.
He fell down.
Boy, we didn't let him get down. Because when they shoot you in the stomach and your stomach is coming down, the last thing you would do is let the stomach touch the floor.
The intestine to touch the floor.
If the intestine touches the floor, the person is going to die with the type of medical treatment we had there, because it will collect sand.
And once it touches sand,
that's it.
Is over.
So what we carry the boy, in fact, other people, we grab him, and the thing that saved us in that firefight was somebody with bucket to Bunibe. He came and crossed us in the front, and when I set the bucket up there, came back with the wire. Once he detonated the Bunibe, everyone went quiet. Then we got up and started running backwards. That's what saved us from that situation.
But why didn't you manufacture many more Ubunigos? What stopped Ubunigo from being used? Even because we are losing a lot of people. If I'm there, I would have volunteered myself to say, I'm going to stop this very formation that is a Hausa formation, that is a Yoruba, not Yoruba, why am I calling Yoruba? Yoruba, they didn't fight. There is a Hausa Arab formation, so to speak.
The thing is that with the Ubunigo, don't forget, this is just like a mine. You call it an advanced mine,
Mm.
You have to lay it and... But what would have helped us, if the work, if we had flying Ogbunigwe, the one you could fire with rocket. So it's just like you want the Middle East fire.
Yeah, to fire. You know, yeah, when to deli- delivery mechanism.
Delivery mechanism. Just take the one and go into their territory. So that was the what saved us from that firefight. Once we got up, we turned backwards. And as we were running backwards, in fact, there were some soldiers behind us. You know, we said, oh my God, this is it. You know, these people are ourselves. So when those people started speaking Igbo to us, we know we are safe. So they asked us where we were going. I said, well, you know, they told us we are going to their headquarters. That it was a suicide mission we were back on. So immediately the guy showed us a track road into the cocoa farm. We just ran in through there, you know, just like a cat, you know, goat when you show them direction. They're all running. So in fact, it was there that people started killing themselves. Soldiers, we are begging soldiers to kill them. In fact,
No. When you say kill themselves, these are men of honor. Trying to die rather than be Nigerians.
Yes.
We'll come back to that. We must get the story right. Because it's not just suicide. They are men of honor. This is Radio Biafra transmitting from Toronto here in Canada, being regaled by the stories of the war as seen by a genuine veteran. Give us your name and where you are, please.
Yes, good evening, my brothers. I see you are broadcasting from Toronto, Canada, and I say, let me call on you to say that it was a good journey from Chicago to Canada.
Thank you.
I'm sure
I could hear the name.
And say hi to my brother.
Thank you.
Who is talking the story? Tell him I say hi.
Yes, thank you, Akujeza.
You know Akujeza?
Oh, sure. We want a Nekwenche. I mean, if I'm a Nekwenche.
No wonder. You should have said so now from time.
We've been to Detroit.
No wonder.
You know.
When you meet Nekwenche people, you know.
Yeah.
You've met Nekwenche people. Yeah. Not to say for the Biafran Association of People and the Women and Children. Nekwenche is genuine and standing. Anywhere you go, you meet Nekwenche. Give me 100 man. We are privileged to have Ekwenche people here. Very powerful. No wonder you're not going to come to Canada. Why not you know Ekwenche now?
Thank you.
Yes.
So, okay. Bye-bye.
You see, I didn't even know. So you're a member of Ekwenche as well?
Myself and Peter Chikeze, we're members of Ekwenche.
No wonder now. No wonder you're dedicated. You've been here with me since. If you're a woman, they will say that you have met your boyfriend somewhere or your lover. You've been with me ever since yesterday I came. You've been driving from morning till night. Even when I go to rest, you are here. It's incredible. It's incredible. Once you meet Ekwenche, no wonder Jesus is laughing. When you meet Ekwenche people, you will know the difference. You know, I'm humbled to be here. These are men. Ekwenche was giving us our history, how we came to being as a people. Now you're telling us firsthand what happened during the war. That is what I like to hear, men of honor. And anything we can do to promote what Ekwenche is doing, Radio Biafra is going to do it, because Ekwenche is real, is genuine. They are the source of everything that we are doing. Yes, you were telling us something. Please continue, because
you know,
we need to hear it.
So at this, I think it's a cocoa farm. You know, in fact, that was where I saw the body of that major that led the fight.
They killed themselves.
He killed himself. He killed himself with his pistol. He just shot himself from the back of the throat, and he was stripped naked.
So our people want to understand this. These are men that, because of what they had fought for, because of how they served Biafra,
yes,
they felt it was duty bound on them that rather that is either for them to see Biafra or they will die.
That's right. In fact, when I got there, I told them I'm not going to kill myself. At the worst, I'll encounter the enemy.
And die in battle.
So we got into this river, you know, just a flowing river. This thing, you don't have to use them. We just lay in the river and was drinking from, you know, the brown water, you know.
You were just, because you were thirsty for after how many days of fighting and
without water, you know. So we had this, it was a cocoa, you know, what do you call it? At the farm, you know, cocoa young farm. You know, we were there. So we didn't know what to do. So it so happened that we saw some of the villagers, you know, they came to their farm.
Yes.
We had to go and kidnap them, military style. You know, so we didn't know where we were and everything. So the military said, we just you know, corner them and got them. You know, there's a way you can capture somebody who won't hear a word, you just drag him to where then.
So these are, you encountered enemies again?
No, these are villagers. We wanted to know where we are. We didn't know. We know that Lion Brigade is around somewhere, but we don't know where they are. And we're seeing people, we don't know where you are. So the worst thing you can do, not knowing where you are. You have to know where you are before you move forward. So it was a family, a man and a, you know, two women and a man, I think it's a family. So when all my sister first, we grabbed them and brought them back. So we wanted to know what the terrain. They told us there were some soldiers up there. You know, so they told us that Biafran soldiers, so it's okay. So after getting all this information, then we told them they have to go and show us. So we put them forward and we're following them behind. You know, so they got there, you know, so when the soldiers came out, because this, you don't take first hand what villagers do tell you. So you give them at this time and then we go in front, and you, because you can walk in the line of
the ambushes.
You know, so once we established that it was the Lion Brigade, we got out. In fact, that place, you know, was Umuhu Abam.
That was where the Lions Brigade were.
Yes, that's why, and that's where the war ended for us. Because you're talking about 11th of January. In fact, we were there. In fact, the few people that had two transistor radio that the war was ended, we linked them to that. We thought they were saboteurs.
Hmm?
Yes, because some people had this portable Philips radio listener. The few people that said, we thought they, you know,
that they were mad.
You know, we told them they were saboteurs. Not until villagers from
confirmed it. Let's take this call. This is interesting. This is Radio Biafra. Please, your name and where you are. This is Radio Biafra.
My name is Victor. Okay, but I'll be calling here. But I'm now in Abuja. I don't travel back to Abuja.
Yes.
I'm not listening to the idea. I'm listening to the story of my brother was saying, the story was, I'm just shaking. These old people are passing through Boston in the war. You know, it's not easy. It's touching. I'm just trying to everything was going inside front of the wall, fighting the wall, you know, and kind of thing. This gap of between must come to. It will be a something that we will be on. One day we'll stand and wave our flag with happiness and joy. I thank you so much, you Manikali, you have been trying a lot. What you are doing is the best thing. And may God bless you and you people over there. The trouble of people have been trying a lot. I'm very, very grateful. I'm doing my best. All I can do, all I can donate, all I have, which I know is the best thing to do. I'm very grateful for what you're doing.
Thank you. You are listening to Radio Biafra. Where are you now? Where are you listening to us from?
Kebe? I'm in Abuja.
You're in Abuja listening to Radio Biafra. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very, very much, and God bless you. Thank you. It's fascinating. Does this story resonate with anything you've heard in the past about this war, close encounters, what happened, and anybody you know that was involved in the war? I never knew that some people loved Biafra so much that they preferred to do the honorable thing by killing themselves rather than either be captured by the enemy or to hear that Biafra failed, because it was a just war. People went to go and fight to defend their children, to defend their wives, to defend their husbands, to defend their families, their village, their community, their towns, and the honor of our people, the dignity of our people. Because if you come to the cenotaph in England, they built a cenotaph, they said, in memory of the glorious dead. So that even in death there is glory. Our people don't understand that. That even in death there can be glory, even in death. So that to have all these young people then, I believe they are young men, to say that I'd rather take my own life than to hear that Biafra has failed or that Biafra didn't stand, is something commendable. Is a spirit that nobody can understand. It takes men of courage to do that, not cowards. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please.
Ndewo Mazinambi.
Ndewo.
I'm over Benjamin coming from Morocco.
Morocco, and I'm over Guinea.
And I'm
That is why we are in Biafra. That is why it is humiliation. The oil is flowing from your land. You know, where you come from is the oil that Babangida will sell. Take the money and go and bring in, buy a horse from Argentina. Bring in somebody from Argentina to train the son on how to play polo on a horse in Ibu with our money. And we are in Morocco looking to swim to come into Europe. And people are
my brother is too painful. Even only travelers can even know what we are passing through. Maybe the people back home they may know, but not much as I say only the usual in Yamana. Also is I could have been mad at na them now but yes after years you are them now. Yes. So, yeah, I got all restoration kind of because I'm a Megon, every day from a good honor than no mazzy. I'm a Megon, that's down the apple. I made 2 days the room together, but we're getting out of for sure. We'll be a radical group of whatever guy in our school.
Yes,
so but it's a problem. I'm not asking any bad army or that we should be able to go home. I'm a Biafra, my name is here, but I'm not. Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, my dear brother. You see what we are suffering? So, despite all that sacrifice, despite everything that you did, that your group did, that your battalion did, your men sacrificed themselves in honor, in defense of what, where they come from. We still have our people in Morocco. Waiting to swim across
Mediterranean. They might drown.
They are drowning. You say, what some is might? People are drowning.
Some of them might drown.
And people have the temerity to look me in the face or phone up Radio Biafra and ask me, why do you want Biafra? I say to myself, I want to ask God, why did you make such people? They are not worthy to exist. This is humiliation. This is an insult to our people. And why are those of us in the diaspora not seeing what is happening to us? Why don't we see it as an insult that our own children, our own younger ones,
Drake from West Africa all the way to North Africa through Sahara Desert, and then they have to wait somewhere in North Africa to swim to go to come to Europe. And out of every 100 that sets out, not up to 20 will make it in. The rest will die on the road. And people are having parties, people are celebrating, people are going to places telling me they have kola nut, they want to break kola nut. People are buying Remy Martin. People are buying the finest brandy known to man. They are buying champagne, brandy, whiskey, drinking, enjoying, when their own flesh and blood are drowning. Some of them are in prison. Some of them are in prostitution in the north, all over the place. Because there was a survey that was made that said that the highest number of prostitutes you can get are Igbo people, Igbo girls. Even our men have joined them as well. We know who they are. And you're telling me that life has meaning. Life has no meaning. We are passing through a death sentence on a daily basis. Sometimes I don't know how people even find time to enjoy themselves. Because for some of us, there's not been any enjoyment now for over 10 years. When you look at what is happening to your people, sometimes I ask God, why did you mix me amongst cowards? I had to tell my father that if there's a next life, I wouldn't want to meet these people around me. It's better I'm a tree in the forest. At least I will be useful than to be born amongst cowards who doesn't understand what honor is. That there is something far, as my brother told us this evening, something is greater than life. That thing is freedom. It is honor. It is integrity. The name of your father, the name of your family is more important. As I said to somebody, will you stand there, somebody will come in and rape your mother and rape your wife in front of you? You will choose death over seeing such nonsense.
They tried it after the war. Okay. And we killed a lot of them. Yes. When we came back in, I came back to Arichukwu on 14th of January. This stupid house soldier, once in a while, our guests were dressing like grandmothers just to camouflage. And some of these soldiers had temerity to come in after them. What do? We left them, but we keep our sentry at night. Whenever they come out at night, they don't go back. We use our they will have their setima gun carry them.
And that is how they gave birth to all these kids. They're not going to go be after talking nonsense. After the war, to Cham Wan Yime.
Yes.
So it's true. It's true that they pregnanted most of this.
They were rushing after our guests. They were coming to my compound, and guests will run inside the bush and everything when they come. And those of them, they take them with their military, But then, in fact, the soldiers at Arich, with them, their commander told them not to leave, go at night. Because any of them that stays outside the barrack at night, they might go soon.
This is what is happening, and our people are telling us. This is any time I tell anybody born during or after the war telling you I don't believe in Biafra. Oh, yeah, people think I'm joking. It's confirmation tonight. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please.
Yeah, good evening, my brother Mandy.
Good evening.
My name is Otuchukwu Augustine. I called you last week. I'm calling from Finland.
From Finland? Please go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, I'm from Oulu.
From Oulu? Another Oulu person. My goodness me. There must be something they're eating in Oulu that makes all of you Biafran. That is very good. Please go ahead.
Okay. I want to thank all of you in the studio. They are working for us. Also, when I heard that this is our former Biafran war veteran, when he told us his story during the war, it touches me a lot. Because I remember one of my cousins, one day I just went to his house. Immediately I went there, I see military picture on the wall. I said, who is this on the wall? Are you a soldier, a Nigerian soldier? What? He laughed at me. He laughed. He told me that he's a former Biafran soldier. So he told me all these stories of what he encountered during the war, and even as he was telling, he told me everything, many things during the war, what they encountered. It turned me so much. I begin to think in my
in my heart, had it been that that Biafra won this war. And as he was telling me, beyond that question, he said to me that even as he's talking to me now, that his bullet is still inside his leg. They couldn't remove all of them. There is one still inside, and the thing is spending him. And so the thing turned me so much. And also, after all this thing, I was wishing when our war veteran, he's in the studio there, when he was telling his story, he told us this also his own part of story. I was wishing in my heart that had it been because this my cousin is now late. I wish that he's alive to see when Biafra will be fully restored, so that we give all of them their honor and how they fought for us. Thank you very much for what you are doing.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you very, very much. Everybody has a story to tell. We all have stories to tell regarding our experiences, both individually and collectively, about this very war of genocide, the war of attrition. They wanted to kill us. That is why Radio Biafra is here, is to bring the truth to our people, to remind us of our obligation, not just to the living, but to the dead. We owe them so much. These men and women that sacrificed their lives. And sometimes the reason why I will forgive somebody when I tell you about Biafra, you say, no, don't tell me, I believe in Nigeria. Of course, we know you are fathered by a Hausa person, but some of your mother maybe was raped. So on that note, we can forgive some of you. But some of you are also unpardonable in your sins. This is Radio. Hello, are you there? No, they're not ready for us yet. The line is not clear. Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? No. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Yes, please go ahead. Go ahead.
I have already.
No, I don't think. What is going on here? Let us try again. I see. Somebody is trying to call and then ending the call. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I hope they can try and call us back. That this is Radio Biafra. If you're joining us for the very first time, that we are broadcasting from Toronto in Canada. Normally, we report to you for only 2 hours, but today we are reporting for more than 2 hours for the very simple reason that our brother is here giving us the tale of the battle they fought, telling us how they survived the war, telling us the bravery. Can anybody see Yoruba people running towards blazing gun, trying to quench it with their bare hands? Is that possible? No. Let us be factual. Can you imagine seeing Yoruba people running towards an army to a battery, an array of guns and arsenal, to go and use their bare hands to go and take it over? Is that possible? But these were the things we are doing, and those people, the type of men that fought for Biafra, the type of men that used their bare hands to kill Nigerian soldiers, the type of Biafran soldiers that if you stand them in front of a Hausa man, the Hausa man will not breathe again in 5 minutes' time, cannot give birth to the type of idiots that you have, some of them in America, that is saying we are not interested in Biafra. Biafra has come and gone. There is no way that can happen. Please.
Yeah, you know what I just remembered now is I don't know if you've heard of that, because my dad, I'm so sad because I always have his pictures there. I think there are 8, the group of the commander or the combat, whatever they call it.
Yeah, the platoon or a group of soldiers. Yeah. The company, is it?
The company, the smallest is
the company.
You know, I remember when he was telling me that he's the only one that survived, and he was telling me all their names. And sometimes I'll think maybe Ogechukwu means something to him, you know, why he named me that. But that's by the way. What I'm saying is, he always called me that the federal government or the Nigeria, whoever that is in charge, is telling the Biafran soldiers that fought the war that they will be getting a gratuity or something like
that.
That they should pay 2,000 naira they should pay 2,000 naira. I said, why should they pay 2,000 naira? They're supposed to pay them. Why would you? Okay. And he was telling me that the one in Enugu that is going to be paying, but those in my village, where I can, like where he came from, which is Isoji, they're almost paying higher more than them in the town. They're paying 5,000. And I said, for what?
You.
They have to pay you guys.
Not
for those that are still alive, because I know majority is dead. But at least you were able to still be here, and they want to pay, as they say they wanted to pay you guys. You don't have to pay. You don't have to give them money for you to be getting your gratuity or to get whatever it is. So it's like, you just get to my mind now.
Yes.
I'm like,
we'll try and take this call. A lot is happening. This is Radio Biafra. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Good evening.
Good evening from here, Toronto in Canada. Give us your name and where you're calling us from, please.
My name is Pascal Ijeoma. I am calling you from Qatar. Actually, I'm from Arachukwu.
From Arachukwu. Your brother is here. His name is Obonnaya, a veteran, a distinguished Biafran veteran. He is here. Please go ahead. The world is hearing your voice. Go ahead.
All right. I've been following the Radio Biafra program all this while. But I just want to confirm something. Actually, I reside at South Africa, but I'm here on a business trip.
Yes.
If I want to make a contribution with regarding to the transmitter, since I don't have MasterCard or Visa, can I do that via Western Union?
Yes, you can do it via Western Union, and it can be picked up in Canada here. Your brother is here. If you send it to us here in Canada, it can be picked up. You send it to us, we can get it from here. Yes.
And how do I get the information by which I can make the transfer?
Let me see if your number is showing. Is this your number? This number showing? Is it your number right now?
Yeah. This is my private number.
It ends with 5215. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
5215, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Just so long, let me reconfirm it again, because I have two phones up there. Actually, I called earlier, but the other phone wasn't going through. Just so long.
This is the one for Canada. This is the number for Canada. That is what?
Okay.
What is your number?
Yeah, let me read my number for you. It's plus 974.
Yes.
9251 5215.
Repeat.
That's 94974.
Yes.
33.
Yes.
92.
Yes.
52.
Yes.
15.
Okay, yeah, we've got the number. We are going to call you. We'll call you and tell you the name, or give you a name to send it to here in Canada. And then we can try and pick it up, or you can send it to the States or wherever we're staying. We can pick it up and then obviously place it towards the purchase of the transmitter. We are very grateful. You are traveling from South Africa, and also Radio Biafra is coming to South Africa very soon.
I heard that one over here. You know, I've been here for a couple of months. You know, I always try to talk to my friends via Facebook. I even send them messages. I got friends over there in America.
Yes.
I told them about Radio Biafra and all that. You know, Nnamdi, I really thank God for you. I think you are a prophet sent to Igbo race of the whole entire Biafra as somebody to come and speak to us. I strongly believe in Biafra, but I'm very, very sad about our people. Most of them don't believe in Biafra. You know, it breaks my heart. But I'm thanking God for you, and I pray every day of my life that God should keep you strong and give you the wisdom to carry on what you're doing. You know, I strongly believe in God, for one day we will laugh, we will rejoice and celebrate like every other nation, like South Sudan and some small countries in Europe which have get their freedom. You know, you are doing a very good job. May God bless you, Nnamdi.
And you too. Thank you very much, my dear brother. Thank you very, very much. We also got a call from Malachi. We have your number here. Malachi called from China. We would ask you to please try and call us back. We are here. We are continuing the program. Okay, Chupu, I'll call you your full name, the way it was given to you. you're behaving like Barrister Imam Mezu. When we are doing program in our studios in London, Imam Mezu will say, we own Radio Biafra. As long as calls are coming in, we remain here to address our people. And that is why sometimes we run for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. I have done a program before for 5 hours nonstop. And I love serving my people. If I have to sit here for the next 2 days, then so be it. My only desire and the desire of the Radio Biafra editorial board that sent me is to spread the message of the restoration of Biafra in truth and honesty. We don't know politicians, they don't. If they hear about us, they run away. If there's some of them here that Nnamdi Kanu is coming, they run from the window. How map is that window map? Because they know we don't tolerate nonsense from anybody. We are here to get Biafra. That is the reason why we exist. As I told my mother once, I said, I was born, you gave birth to me so that I can help in the coming of Biafra. After that, my job is done. After that, I can die the next second and I'll be a very happy man. To live a life where your people are suffering is unacceptable by every stretch of imagination known to man. It cannot happen. We are here at the home of our dear brother, Uche Ezima, and the wife who is jealously guarding what Radio Biafra is doing and berating people in Canada to come out. We've heard from our dear brother, Nduka Ezejiku, the husband of Maureen. There seems to be a lot of husband and wife combination here, which is great. And I'm also delighted to say that no wonder things are moving very well, because Ekwenche is ably represented here by a veteran, brother, and also an Omwahen. Obunna is here with us, telling us what we never knew happened during the war, telling us about valor and honor, telling us how some of the people around you who don't believe in Biafra, how they were born. They were the people being chased by Hausa people after the war, because before the war, they used to dream about Igbo women. They dream about them in their dream. They say, oh God, one day, can I touch? As Ogechukwu is, if she was in the north in those days, even the MA, everybody would be celebrating if she were to walk past in front of their house. My father used to tell me that when, you know, in the market, as people are trading, you know, when you want to give change to a Hausa person, if a Hausa person touches the hand of an Igbo lady in the process, they will go back home and they will have a party. That today they touched an Igbo woman. So it was no wonder that they were coming and chasing us all over the place, even in the cocoa farm. Everywhere they said they are chasing us with their guns. In the process, a lot of the women got raped and gave birth to the people you are seeing. Some of them are in America. Some of them, that's where they live. When you tell them about Biafra, it goes in through one. Yeah, because I'm the Obarema. A person agwa haim here to Ogologo. A snake must give birth to something that is long. They are representing their fathers. They are the people that came into Igbo land through the abominable way, through rape and deceit and hunger. That is why they're against Biafra. Anybody against Biafra, even if it is your own sibling, summon the courage to ask your mother what she did, because she must have dishonored your family. This is Radio Biafra. We speak the truth. If you don't like it, you know what to do. Listen to NTA. Go and listen to Abia Broadcasting Service, or you listen to Anambra Broadcasting Service, in other words, P2B Broadcasting Service. Here we tell you the truth. If you don't like it, may the good Lord have mercy upon your soul, because you're already dead. Do you have anything to say, my dear brother? Because we need to be rounding up. We are coming up to up to the third hour. Please go ahead.
Yes, actually, what I know about the war, mostly I have to do research myself, because somehow my dad really didn't. He tried to keep us, you know, keep that information to himself. He didn't. Actually, what I know, even majority of what I know was from my uncle. Somehow, my dad, you know, when it comes to that war, it doesn't go deep that much. I guess probably because he witnessed a lot of things. It's because he was stationed in the north in Jos, so. Some of it, he just tells, what he just tells us is this: know how you operate in Nigeria. Never buy anything outside of the East. Because he used to have property. Mm. Like he said, try not to own anything outside of the East.
But the advice your father gave you is a very interesting
one. He said, because he, Some of that's what he said. He said, learn your history, even though he didn't tell us much about the history anyway, so that you don't become history.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. He said, know your history so you don't become history.
What I want to ask is that the amount of people dying where we come from, if you call home now, they will tell you there are about 5 dead bodies who are waiting burial. Is that true for everybody? Or is it just me?
Of course. Yeah.
You are correct.
You dread that early morning phone call.
Yes.
Is it true? What I'm saying, is it correct?
Yeah, sure. You are 100.
But it didn't used to be this way before, was it?
No.
So now what I'm suspecting is, coming from what DK here have just said, are you sure that the Hausa people bring us tomatoes and onions are not poisoning us? Because people are dying. I can't understand why you come in a village, was buried at the same day. I have never heard of such a thing in my life. I have never heard of such a thing. The next 2, 3, 4 compounds away from me. Died and was buried on the same day. Dambokocha was buried around, interned around 1 o'clock, Uche around 1:30. It's madness. I have never heard of such nonsense in my life.
The two is even, that one is not even, what of the whole family?
Huh?
What of the whole family?
I heard
the whole family, just a friend, because there is one station that I think he signed up with them. So whenever they get a breaking news or like news like this, it's tragedy, they always send them the link for them to read it. And the girl will call me and ask me, have you heard this? I said, what? That a family that just ate their dinner, they all died. And I'm like, what do you mean family? Family of two or family of one? What do you mean? She told me family of 5.
Oh,
I said, okay, hold on. The mother, the father, and the children, or the mother, the uncle, or the guest, which? She told me the whole family. I said, you don't need to tell me this anymore. Because I was getting, my mind wasn't there anymore.
It's too much on time.
You know, and she was telling me that they claim that the people ate, maybe, like you just said, maybe the tomatoes or onions or something like that. And I'm like, why? Why? You know? And
they did it in England. They wanted to go. You see, when they said, oh no, you're being alarmist.
Well, that's so sad.
You're being alarmist. The fact of the matter is that they hate us and they want to take over our land. They want to Islamize us by force, by reducing our population, by depopulating where we come from. They can move in because nature abhors vacuum and they can convert us forcibly into Islam. One thing our people don't know is this. In England, that is asking us to stay with one Nigeria, they took ricin. You know, ricin is a poison. Ricin,
yeah.
It kills. They were looking for waterworks. You know the water that comes through your tap in England, in London. They were looking for waterworks to pour ricin into it, to kill everybody. If they can do it to white, how about you that they hate? And I'm telling you, go and investigate it. All the untimely deaths happening where we come from is as a result of the food we're importing from Ukawasa. Go and check it anywhere, any day. They are the ones killing us. Because the amount of death where we come from is disproportionate. No other group in Nigeria is dying the way we are dying. And as the way it happens with Radio Biafra, after 2, 3, 4, 5 months, you will see that what we're saying is correct. You see somebody say, oh, I confess to the poisoning of Igbo people. There is no justification for the way people are dying. It's not fair. This is Radio Biafra. We are about to bring the program to a close. We will continue tomorrow on this story. You think of other ones and you will tell us. What you've enlightened us about this evening here in Toronto is that our people are brave. Very, very brave. And in a one-on-one combat with Nigeria, they can't stand us. We'll defeat them. And we know we can. Even when they had the whole world with them, we still took Ikotebene back from them. And still took over back from them. So when people say, oh, how about the people that they betrayed us in Mbamini, they are mad. The people that betrayed you from Ogoni are the likes of Ken Sarowiwa. He was at Government College, incidentally, on scholarship given by Dr. Michael Opara. He was a student there, the former East, the Eastern region, gave him a scholarship and he was there. they are the ones that betrayed us. Not everybody from Ogoni betrayed us. Not everybody from Ikwere betrayed us. They lied to them to take our properties, to sow seeds of discord. And do you know how we discovered that the British wanted our oil? How we discovered this is a historical fact. Before they left Nigeria, they wanted how they can get through to the oil in Igbo land, in Biafra land. They instituted what they call the Middleton Minority Commission that said that the head of service for the minorities, sorry, for the head of service for the police, the customs, you know, what I call the minor minister, who have to come from the minority areas. When this man was sitting down and taking the positions from the people, his name is Middleton, I'm sure it is, Middleton Constitution or whatever. No, it was a minority commission. British people are very, very crafty. They said they are concerned about the fate that will befall the minorities in the eastern region. They did not discuss the minorities in the northern region. They did not discuss the minorities in the middle belt. They never said anything about the Hausa Fulani domination of the TVs, of the Nupes, of the Kanuri people, of the Gwari people, of the what are their names again?
Or even the old Midwest.
Old Midwest. They never discussed it. The only place the British government concentrated their effort to divide us. That is why Tina Achebe is a very intelligent man. Divide and rule. They brought it. They went to Calabar. They said, they told Calabar people, we are here because we are concerned. We want to give you people independence, but we are so much concerned about your well-being. If we leave you with Igbos, what will happen? That was how they did. So they made sure that by so doing, they will have unrestricted access to our oil, because in anything in life, if you have something that is whole, the only way you can get to the middle of it is to follow a crack in that very thing. You have to break it open to get to the middle of it. And they broke us using the Minority Commission. That's why they want our oil. That is why they hate us. That is why they despise us. But the appointed time has come. We want people to watch and see what is going to happen. 1967 to 70 is not 2013 to 2015. Life has moved on. What Radio Biafra is doing today was impossible a few years ago. But God is with us and we're moving ahead. Please give us your closing remarks, Les.
Again, my name is Pius Ike Dike. Thank you for listening to us, wonderful listeners. Again, this is a message to all of us to think about what our veteran uncle here, brother, father, just said to us. It tells us about ourselves, that we are can-do people. We can do things that we can't even imagine. There is what it's called, we have honor. These are the honors we have to think about to restore back to Igbo land. So Don't be afraid of your enemies. Don't be scared of your enemies. Don't shy away from the word Biafra. The word Biafra means honor, valor, and integrity. These are the things we need to uphold as a people. So think about it. Thank you for joining us, and hopefully tomorrow you join us again. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you.
Fellow Biafra friends, we are bringing the program to a close. Thank for listening to us. It's not easy for me telling these stories. There were worse stories, you know. For every good story, there are bad stories. Fellow Biafra friends, the time has come. I know I'm in my 60s now, but if I'm called to battle, I will still go. Nigeria Biafra war to me is an unfinished business. We couldn't kill them all. I hope next time it will be different. It will be different. You can mark that word, it will be different. What we did before, we fought with the bare hands. But now it will be different. Maybe next time that our Ogbuni will be flying Ogbuni. It will be in our lesson. So people, take care, and God bless the Republic of Biafra.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well said, well spoken. And the lady of the house, and our host, let me not say hostess, please.
Hostess.
Yes.
The host is not here. Oh.
My fellow Biafrans, listening, the ones listening and those that are calling in, I want to thank you all. We are so grateful for your contributions today. I believe we all are filled with so much excitement with your thoughts, questions, and contribution, and those that have put in their pledge. We are so thankful for that. As we come to the end of today's segment, we want to tell you guys that we are still on top. There is a song they say, coming from the bottom, now we are on top.
That is correct.
So we are still going to be on top till this Biafra is come to stay. Especially for we are trying to get this satellite.
The transmitter
we are trying to get is very important. Yes. Please, we are pleading. Because if it's something that I can do it right away. It's just I don't have the money. But I believe maybe before the end of this month, I might win a lotto and I will buy it. And I won't ask you for nothing, you know? But I know I can for right now. Please, I'm pleading that maybe if you're going to listen tomorrow, hopefully, please call in and pledge. We need your money. We can buy it. If we have this transmitter, you can imagine what will happen in Nigeria. A lot of people in the village, they will be cooking and they will be listening to the radio. And they will be hearing all these messages that is coming across the international. Everywhere, they will be hearing what is going on. And from there, you will see that those that are still doubting will not doubt anymore. There won't be no Thomas. Everybody will now stand up in one unity. And we will fight this Biafra. Thank you so much, Ahambogechukwu Ume Ezuma. I'm happy to be part of this broadcast coming from Toronto, Canada. And I'm so thankful for having this wonderful man here, Nnamdi Kanu, at my humble home. Thank you, and thank all the Biafrans in UK that is also doing a wonderful job, making sure that everything is coming on air at a particular time. And as we have started today, we ended in a peaceful time. We're going to start tomorrow again at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, Canada. I think it will be
7 p.m. in London.
In London.
Yes.
And the second segment also starts at 7. We are going to be here.
Yes.
And I believe all Canadians will be here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because I know even though the Calgary, the Vancouver, the Hamilton, we are not only Toronto in Canada, so many provinces cities.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much once again, and God bless you as you have your night. Bye-bye.
Thank you very, very much. Well spoken. I'm concluding for us once again for the second night running. We are honored to be here. We are humbled to be here. Ekwenche is here. So which means that God himself is here. It's a very good thing. It's a wonderful feeling. I love the people of Canada, especially Toronto. They have warmed to Radio Biafra. They are responding very positively, and it's a very good thing. Our sister is asking us to even try and do more. There is something I've just had to jot down. I said it yesterday. I don't know if I got it in the right order. This is the oath of the people that left Europe to go and take Jerusalem from the infidels, to go and defend the place that our Lord Yeshua was born. His name is not Jesus. Jesus is a Greek pronunciation. Jesus Christ is a Greek word. It is not Hebrew. It is not Aramaic either. His name is Yeshua. They will remind them going to fight Muslims. They traveled for thousands upon thousands of kilometers to go and take back the birthplace of our Lord. They went to go and rescue the seat, the citadel, the dwelling place of the Most High in heaven, being the temple of King Solomon in Jerusalem. Do not be afraid in the face of your enemies, not in front. They said, do not be afraid in the face of your enemies. Be upright, that God may love thee. Speak the truth at all times, even if it leads to your death. Defend the helpless. Very simple short codes. If we abide by it, Biafra will come. God in heaven will send his angels and his archangels to come and fight for us. And he will use human beings to do that. This is Radio Biafra. If you've listened to us today, you are indeed truly blessed. Because Biafra is the kingdom of heaven on earth. We are going to build a new Jerusalem. God bless you wherever you are. 7 p.m. London time, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in Canada. Thank you very much and God bless all of you.
Good night.
Good night.
Onye sini ya buchi ya mekani boje bulu chukwu makani beno wasina chia dimma ibeno wasina chia dimma ibeno wasina chia dimma ibeno wasina chia dimma mama.